participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 2007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Let's get restarted in here.
Everybody. Everybody, get into it, get stoked, get retarded, get retarded.
Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Artinger here, the legendary Joe Artinger, with you on this gorgeous, at least on the East Coast, gorgeous Wednesday afternoon, just a couple of days before the Christmas holiday. And like I said, welcome to Best of Don and Mike on a well-deserved, well-earned vacation for a couple of weeks. So, you're stuck with me for a little while, but I promise to make it fun for you. Well, maybe not that fun, but guess what? I don't have to promise anything because we got some great, great, great Best of Don and Mike for you, not only today, but all throughout the holidays. So let's get right into it. Oh, and who doesn't like this? Remember back when Arnold Schwarzenegger won the election for governor of California? Well, that's what I got for you now. It's the best, Don and Mike.
Last night, listen, we knew it. We predicted it yesterday. We predicted it 24 hours ago at exactly this moment.
We did.
That Big Dumb Arnold would win the California race, and he did. And now you woke up this morning, and people in California, look what you did.
California, that's the new name of the state. You have to pronounce it that way now. California.
Here are the total number now of votes. And when you think about this, and with such a large state, mm-hmm. It really is a smaller number of people than you would have thought. All candidates running to replace the governor if recall passes. 99% of precincts reporting, mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger had 3,624,000 votes.
Right.
Bustamante had 2,400,000. Those don't seem like huge numbers, but I guess in California it is. Or like everywhere, there's apathy and people don't vote.
Right.
Going down the list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 and 7. Fifth place, Arianna Huffington, 42,000 votes.
Wow.
Seventh place, Larry Flint.
How many votes did he get?
15,000. Followed closely by Gary Coleman with 12,000.
What about the porn star?
Hold on.
Mary Carey.
I'm working my way down the list right now.
I thought she'd be ahead of Larry Flint.
Yeah. Nope. I'm going past all the names of the people that I've never read, never heard.
Right.
These are all people who just had their friends. We're now down into the 1,000s. And the name I'm looking for again is
Mary Carey.
Michael Jackson got 654 votes.
654.
Let me see. Now we're down into the three digits. Richard Lewis got 171
votes. I didn't even know he was running.
No. Well, you know, I didn't see... hold on. Here she is. My apologies. Her real name is Mary Cook.
Oh.
And Mary Carey came in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9... Hey, she cracked the top 10.
Hey, good for her.
9,855 votes.
Wonderful job, Mary.
So last night, how surreal was it? I mean, it's
I still don't get it. I still can't believe I'm picking up the Washington Post today and looking at Arnold on the cover. I mean, I don't get it. I still don't get it.
Here's what happened. Last night, everybody knows he's won. We knew it. Mm-hmm. They knew it on TV. They were waiting till 11 o'clock to say it till the polls closed.
Right.
Till it was 8 o'clock out on the West Coast. And now they're filling. Because mm-hmm. Arnold's coming on soon, and they have Greta Von TMJ, you
right.
know, with the
right.
Greta Von, even the facelift didn't work,
uh-huh.
but she's on CNN, and they're thinking, who can we get to fill the time until Arnold comes on? And the answer is Tom Arnold.
Amazing. Here it is.
We're now joined on the phone by actor, comedian Tom Arnold, a close personal friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Greta, I'm very upset. I had dinner with Arnold last night. I feel like I'm missing my friend who just won the Super Bowl because I'm working here in Detroit, but it's a great night.
Well, what was his mood last night, Tom?
It was very... I think he was very secure. He got
this. Listen to this in-depth coverage.
Unbelievable. You know, the world is falling apart. I'm sorry.
On CNN, we're asking Tom Arnold what Arnold Schwarzenegger was thinking last night.
One of the great idiots of all time. I mean, really. I mean, this is dialing for morons.
Two things. Charlie actually just backed up a theory that I had last night, that Greta Van Susteren has an identical voice to Paula Poundstone. And also, you have to know that they obviously were prepared for Tom Arnold because they had a graphic prepared with a picture of Tom Arnold and a map of Michigan with a star at Dearborn. And, I mean, just, it was like, this is a big deal that they got Tom Arnold on.
Right. At the end of the night, at the end of the dinner, he got the poll numbers, and everything looked great, and I think he felt very confident. He felt relaxed. We smoked a cigar. It had been a long...
Now, listen, maybe it's just me. Doesn't he sound coked up?
Yeah.
Listen to him. Listen to Tom Arnold's voice. Listen to this.
Long week, as you know, a long few weeks, and he felt confident, and he's anxious to get up to Sacramento.
Tom, does he get the political bug among other actors? Do you think other actors want to run for office?
I think there's probably others, but I don't think they have the cojones because you take a lot of stuff. Is that him coming out there now?
Let me interrupt you. Eunice Shriver has just entered the room. Of course, she's the mother-in-law of the governor-elect.
Came in her casket on wheels.
Is following in.
It is surreal.
Other members of the entourage for the governor-elect.
The sound you hear is a couple of guys over in Arlington Cemetery spinning in their graves right now.
You would have thought, okay, they're coming in. Thank you, Tom Arnold.
There you go, Shrivers.
No, they've got a little more time to fill.
Tom Arnold, are you still with us, aren't you?
You know I am. I'm sitting here at Ritz-Carlton in Dearborn.
Listen to that beginning.
Tom Arnold, are you still with us, aren't you?
You know I am. I'm sitting here at Ritz-Carlton in Dearborn, enjoying it, wishing I was there. But I'm very happy.
Does he think he's going to get a free room by mentioning his hotel?
Uh-huh. Yes.
We got to call the Ritz-Carlton in Dearborn.
Why is he a good governor, do you think, Tom, in your mind?
Because you get into acting because you want people to like you. You do what he's doing because he wants to help people. He's going to do it the same way he's done everything else. He's such a good man. He's worked so hard. This is his dream.
Let me find the tape here.
Tom Arnold,
political analyst.
It's, I mean, really, cracks in the earth's surface.
The end of the world. That's right.
The tape I need. Okay, now we can continue.
Tom Arnold, are you still with us, aren't you?
You know I am.
Shut up!
I'm sitting here with Ritz-Carlton in Dearborn, enjoying it, wishing
Shut
I was
up!
There. But I'm very happy. It's been a something he's always dreamed
of. Why is he going to be such a good governor, do you think, Tom, in your mind?
Because he's
Shut up!
Here's a tough question, Greta. Yeah. There's a real... Boy, you keep throwing those hard balls there, Greta.
They discuss more, and then it's time for them to discuss Jay Leno and Arnold Schwarzenegger's feelings about Twisted Sister.
Jesus.
This is all on CNN last night.
Your new government.
All right, Tom, I don't know if you're watching, if you can see this on TV, but Jay Leno has now entered the room. We understand that Jay Leno is going to introduce the governor-elect.
Mm-hmm. He better be funny.
Tom, does he have to be funny, Tom?
Yes, he better be funny. It's a big night. Jay needs it.
Greta.
Why do you think the choice of Jay Leno to introduce him?
Well, because Arnold started. He's friends with Jay, and Arnold started his campaign on his show. And
I'll tell you why. It's because Arnold sat down and said, he has the best ratings, and the most people like, everybody likes Jay.
The best talk show host in the world, and I'll get Jay to come out and, you know, give me the crazy, kooky introduction to make the room all, and then I'll be the serious stuff. And Greta... Ask Tom why he thinks I'll make a great governor.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
You know, Jay's a good guy and he's been a supporter. You know, and it's a tough thing when you have a TV show because you got to be unbiased. Fox would let me talk about him on the show, so I'd have to ask Shaq or.
All right, so now he gets into a plug for his Fox show.
Uh-huh.
Here now we have Jay Leno speaking.
I can't wait to hear this.
Jay Leno bringing on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, no matter which side of the late night thing you line up on, and I think it's a great indicator into what type of a person you're dealing with. There's the Nightline person, then you have your Letterman people, and then you have your Leno people.
Right.
No matter where you stand on this issue, could you ever picture David Letterman in any circumstance standing up to introduce, even if it was a guy like Paul Newman, someone who generally...
He's got too much dignity.
There's a lot of reverence.
I mean, really, he's got too much class. Letterman's got too much class.
Yeah. But here he is now, Jay Leno.
Thank you, I think. Thank you very much. I think tonight is a testament of just how important one appearance on The Tonight Show can be, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God. Look what you did, California.
Oh. You know, the critics said, well, Arnold can't be an administrator. He's an actor. Oh, Arnold can't be an environmentalist. He's an actor. Oh, Arnold can't be governor. He's an actor. And, of course, Arnold was thrilled. For the first time in his career, the critics are calling him an actor, ladies and gentlemen. This is a historic night.
This is a historic night.
Let me explain to that line.
This is a historic night.
I decipher from that opening joke that hours were spent trying to make that as non-offensive as possible.
He agonized. Imagine?
What's a joke I can do that won't...
Bill Schwarzenegger has just been elected governor, and Jay Leno is speaking, and is being covered on CNN.
Wow.
Apparently we have all been wrong. It is pronounced California. Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the great state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow. Ridiculous. But wait... Here he comes. You can hear Twisted Sister in the background.
You know what? You know, I got to share this with our listening audience, though. The faces in our studio right now, the looks on... Are we alone?
No.
Is there anybody out in California that's kind of looking this way today?
There must be someone.
Shaking their head and kind of going, what the hell's going on?
Here's... We're not going to take it. Here's how I equate it to the people in California. It's like someone says to you, I've got the best practical joke in the world. Now, you're going to have to go all in on this.
Yeah, all the way.
I mean, really, you got to get off your ass. You got to register to vote.
Right.
You got to go down on Tuesday. You got to sit through 158 names. But if we all do it together... It'll be the greatest joke ever.
You mean somebody's going to actually break through the curtain and say this has all been a silly practical joke?
No, I think just your average person, just your average Californian, probably got together with some friends and said, hey, you know, I realize that stuff about one vote counting maybe is a bunch of crap.
Right.
But let's say we got everybody in the office to vote for Arnold.
Wouldn't it be funny?
Wouldn't it be great?
And then you just get... hammered last night with your friends like at a Super Bowl party.
Right.
Because, my God, you have just pulled off the greatest joke in the history of America.
Yes, of American politics, sure.
Yeah. Now here is Arnold.
Thank you.
There you go. That's all he has to say.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. What a great celebration. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you, thank you. You know, there are so many people that I want to thank. But I want to start first with my wife, Maria.
Who didn't mind my groping. And I want to thank Hitler.
All right, let me move ahead to some more dialogue, because there's lots of that
passionate supporters.
Idiotic, just, you know, screaming and cheering.
Cast of characters in this thing.
I want to also thank the people of California. From the time I came over to this country, you've opened up your arms to me. You've received me.
Listen, he can't speak our language. He can't speak our language. If he was a competent mental candidate, I'd say, okay, the speech we can work through.
Right.
He can't.
Well, how many years has he had to practice?
You've given me opportunities, endless amount of opportunities. Everything that I have is because of California. I came over.
It's too much. It is too much.
I'm here with absolutely nothing. And California has given me absolutely everything. And today, California has given me the greatest gift of all. You've given me your trust for voting for me. Thank you very much to all the people of California for...
You have given me a way out of my failing movie career.
All right, now hold on. There's more Arnold speaking.
He came here about 35 years ago. He's been a citizen here nearly 20 years.
Let's go to his closing.
And in closing, I want to say something to you that I've been saying for the last 2 months, driving up and down the state.
Is that driving or
I want to be the people's governor, everybody. I believe in the people of California, and I know that together we can do great things. I know that together we can make this again the greatest state of the greatest country in the world.
In the world.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And God bless all of you. Thank you.
I don't need to tell you who's just been listening to this governor-elect in the state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And now to talk about them, joining us from Los Angeles, USC political science professor and former Dukakis campaign manager Susan Estrich. And in Washington, D.C. is the Washington...
Let me explain to you. When you see someone laughing and you don't know why that is, it's very simple. Because I'm in a shot. There has to be no other reason. Okay? So can you get your acting together now and laugh with us? Because it's a very funny scene.
Jesus. Oh. It's your governor.
Ryan, you should do one shot. Just for the one thing of me diving in. And then as soon as I grab it, the full face ahead, the footsteps sound like this.
This is your governor.
Like this. Just so we have that shot. Right,
thank God they do those annoying HBO behind the scenes things.
Look at that shot. Now that's what I call acting.
I'm numb. Yeah. I'm really numb.
Rightly so.
Let me just say, state of California, home of the Don and Mike show on many fine stations for the next 5 years at least. we are, God damn, same machine. We are thrilled.
We are because we hope that there will be 3 years, and that's what the rest of the term is, right? 3 years of bloopers.
The racer, which is the character that I play, is very professional about his job. And the job is the most important thing at this point in his life. And he lives a very disciplined life. But at the same time, he does have emotions. He does have, vulnerable sides to him.
I will reach out to Republicans, to Democrats, and Independents. To those who supported the recall and those who did not. Those who supported me today and those who did not. I want to reach out to everybody, to young and old, rich and poor, people of all religions, all colors, all nationalities.
Poor.
I want to be the governor for the people. I want to represent everybody.
A lot of detail. A lot of detail in that speech. I like good people.
Hard to keep up with all that.
Surreal.
I just received a gracious phone call from Governor Davis.
He had to love that.
Yes.
Sucking on a tailpipe.
Gracious phone call from Governor Davis, who promised me that he would... No. Gracious phone call from Governor Davis, okay?
Good ad-libbing.
I really appreciated that call because he promised...
He's parroting what he's seen at other concession
speeches.
Make this
transition smooth. And I really appreciated that phone call.
Smooth. S-M-O-O-F. Smooth. We'll make this smooth. Jay Leno.
Hey, wouldn't you love to be behind the scenes if there was a camera following when he got that phone call? Is he on the line? Good. Put him on.
Make him wait. But Arnold, he's on the phone right now.
That's okay. Make him wait longer.
Make him wait. So you did it. Congratulations. Now, here's a guy who says he voted for him, and it was a joke. Chris.
Guy Mike, radio guy.
Chris, you admit that you voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you just did it as a joke?
No, I didn't do it as a joke, but I mean, if you look at it now, it's like a joke. I mean, people voted for him, and it's kind of I kind of equate it to sleeping with an ugly chick and then having to deal with it the next day. You know, just something like that.
Yeah, well thought out. Yeah.
Okay, you got it. Here's someone else from California. Steve. Or no, I'm sorry, Shane's in California. Shane.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, it's ridiculous. I mean, I voted for Kamejo just hoping that Schwarzenegger wouldn't get in there. He's an idiot. I can't stand to listen to him talk, first off.
Here's the guy you're asking
about. Just, I don't know. And hello from Modesto, California, home of Scott Peterson.
All right, thank you.
See, there are Californians who are embarrassed.
Incidentally, for those of you keeping track at home, that would be the wife and baby murderer.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. There you go. Well, that's who voted for Arnold. And one last thing here. We do, being as Tom Arnold mentioned the hotel, we got the number.
Very good.
See if his room is comped.
I'm going to call and ask. See if he's there. Oh, I got to do this part off the air.
Very good.
Second.
I mean, he was like giving him a plug. Yes, Rich Carlton, hi. Tom Arnold, please. I'm calling from Governor Schwarzenegger's party.
It's party.
Party.
You got balls?
Hello.
You want to pick it up?
Sure.
Hold on. Wait till I'll give you the high sign. Hold on. It's line 6. I'm not getting anything yet.
Five.
Should I pick up a line? Don't pick it up yet, because I'll tell him that I'm here. Not yet. 3 rings. 4 rings. We'll go to voicemail, and you can leave him a message. 5 rings.
Oh, all right, there.
There's the beep. Go. Yeah, hi. This, again, we were calling. It was the Arnold Schwarzenegger party. Could we leave a message for Mr. Arnold in his room?
It would be your pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. What line are you on?
5. I'm on 5. What did I tell you, 6?
I think you got to put yours on hold, Mike, so I can punch it up here. There we go.
Can I do it over the microphone?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know. Tom, I want to thank you for the great...
Thank you.
Hello?
Record at the tone.
Here we go.
Yeah. Tom, I can't tell you how excited I am. I've won the election, and thank you for your support. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to smoking a cigar with you. You're the greatest friend, and things are great, and I'm governor of California, and I want to move forward. Please come and call me as soon as you can, because I'm so excited. Yeah!
Who are you calling?
Tom Arnold.
He's an ass.
Dankeschön.
Don't call Tom Arnold. Call other people, Arnold.
Jawohl.
All right.
Schnell, there's my schnitzel.
Hang up the phone.
Dankeschön.
To re-record, press 1. To review your recording, press 2.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how excited I am. I've won the election, and thank you for your support. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to smoking a cigar with you. You're the greatest friend, and things are great. And I'm governor of California, and I want to move forward. Please come and call me as soon as you can, because I'm so excited. Ah!
Who are you calling?
Tom Arnold.
He's an ass.
Dankeschön.
Don't call
Tom Arnold.
Call other people, Arnold.
Jawohl.
All right.
There's
my
schnitzel.
To re-record.
Yeah. Tony. Beautifully done.
I think the credibility might be lost to BMI.
Let's have some fun. All right. This is going to be a brief. Match game is coming up next. I want to do one. Yes, hello. This is Aaron Spelling. How are you, darling? I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you for asking. I was wondering if I could speak to Mr. Thomas Arnold. He may be in your hotel under a bogus name. Tom Arnold. And, of course, it's okay. Anybody can get through the Tom Arnold room.
Sure. It's always been that way.
Now it'll probably be the thing again where it rings 5 times. Listen, we're going to play match game in our next break.
Cool.
And we have the 4 people from yesterday, so don't call, because we already have our contestants. 4 rings. I just want to leave one as Aaron Spelling. Tom Arnold.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Hello? Hello, Tom, are you there? Oh, now it's ringing through. Back to the operator. Hmm. And this at a Ritz.
Surprising.
Yes, this is not Mr. Arnold. This is Mr. Aaron Spelling, and I wanted to leave a message on the voicemail for Mr. Tom Arnold. Thank you. Thank you.
She's going to get the voicemail. Can I help you, Mr. Arnold?
Can you help me, Mr. Arnold?
She put me through the voicemail again?
Yeah. Think of it like before. You just got to wait a second.
Right.
Have it cycle through. Oh, come on.
Thank you.
Hello?
Record at the tone.
Tom? Aaron Spelling here. What can I say, baby? You're the greatest. From Melrose to the Love Boat and Hotel, this is Aaron Spelling for my daughter, Tori, saying congratulations to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Tom Arnold, you ridiculous piece of crap. You talentless pig. You make me sick. This is Aaron Spelling. Go to hell. Dumbass.
To re-record, press 1. To review your recording, press 2.
Now, I think mine was without your microphone, though.
I hope so. I was laughing pretty good in the background.
Oh, no. Hold on.
To re-record, press 1.
No,
to review your recording.
I was laughing pretty good in the background. Oh, no.
Well, you can erase this.
To re-record, press 1.
Tom Arnold, Aaron Spelling, The Love Boat, Dynasty, these shows are me. You suck. You are the worst. You associate with Schwarzenegger. On you. That's from me, Aaron Spelling. I am the goddamn Love Boat.
Goodbye, then.
Goodbye, then.
To re-record, press 1.
No.
To review your recording,
yes.
Press 2.
Tom Arnold, Aaron Spelling, The Love Boat, Dynasty, these shows are me. You suck. You are the worst. You associate with Schwarzenegger. On you. That's from me, Aaron Spelling. I am the goddamn Love Boat. Goodbye, then.
To re-record, press 1. To review your recording, press 2. To erase, press 3.
I'm done.
I love that.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here's the way I see it, Beth. Guy puts a fancy guarantee in a box because he wants you to feel all warm and toasty inside.
Yeah, makes a man feel good.
Of course it does. Why shouldn't it? You figure you put that little box under your pillow at night, the guarantee fairy might come by and leave a quarter. Am I right, Dad?
What's your point?
The point is, how do you know the fairy isn't a crazy glue sniffer? Build a model airplane, says the little fairy. Well, we're not buying it. He sneaks into your house once, that's all it takes. Next thing you know, there's money missing off the dresser and your daughter's knocked up. I've seen it 100 times.
But why do they put a guarantee on the box, then?
Because they know all they sold you was a guaranteed piece of shit. That's all it is, isn't it? Hey, if you want me to take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, I will. I got spare time. But for now, for your customer's sake, for your daughter's sake, you might want to think about buying a quality product from me.
Okay, I'll buy from you.
Alex!
What?
The Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Right, 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 and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Gore-Tex girl, Gore-Tex girl. Who is the Gore-Tex girl? Well, Don and Mike don't know either, but they're about to find out on the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys?
We're doing great, thank you.
I just wanted to say, Jesus Crow, you guys really kissed some Dave Barry ass, and I was glad to hear him on the show.
Yeah, we did. We loved it.
You know, there's very few people who
pucker up once in a while
who get that treatment from us, but really, he mocked me when I said this. He's a funny guy.
Mm-hmm. He is.
He's the best. He knows how to define everybody
as foibles, as they referenced him on The Simpsons.
Is this the first Mrs. Barry?
No.
This is not.
No, I'm Gore-Tex. Remember, I called about the tornado
thing. You're Gore-Tex?
Yeah, you guys called me by the name of Gore-Tex. My brain was like Gore-Tex. I was just joking around about the FCC regulated thing because you guys are complaining about having to, I can't even talk. You guys were just
really take your time.
Not announcing the tornado in Virginia since you were everywhere, and I don't know. I was just calling to say I really
Jesus
wanted to call
Christ.
During the hurricane.
What is wrong with you?
The pills, I think.
It's the medicine.
What medicine are you taking, darling?
I don't know all the names. It's too much to remember.
How many bottles do you have?
I don't have enough fingers. I can only count on one hand.
Why do we call you Gore-Tex? Because every thought thrown your way just bounced off?
Yes, exactly.
Do you remember talking to her?
Vaguely, yes.
Did you ever date Mike?
You guys probably don't remember. Anyways, I just wanted to let you know that I hated you guys. I hated your show. But then when you weren't live for a few weeks, I realized how much I missed you. And I was a closet fan, but I'm coming out of the closet now.
Well, listen, and with more fans like you.
Thank you, Gore-Tex.
This show is going places, Gore-Tex. How many different prescription medications do you think you're on? You said you couldn't count, but try to round it up.
Okay, let's see. I think four.
Can you name them?
No, that's confidential.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I've been told Kate Winslet. I don't know.
I was going to say Kelly Osbourne, but...
No.
That's that girl from yesterday's show, Buzz. Girl from that HBO special.
Oh, come on. I'm nicer than Kelly.
Are you wearing black lipstick right now?
No.
Are you a bad girl?
Sometimes when I need to be in the right places.
Mm-hmm. Really? What are the right places?
Good question, Buzz.
I don't know. Yeah. I guess...
there's a shock. You like the...
I'm just kidding. No, that's
Dave
no good.
Barry.
Rob says your lips are naturally black.
No.
The medicine.
No, they're not.
And you're a big fan of Dave, Dave, the guy that was just on the show?
Yeah, man. I grew up reading him.
When Dave Barry was on the show, were you...
But
I bet Dave Barry is in his...
I will do that.
But I bet he's in his car right now on his way down to the bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you say something special just to him?
Yeah, say something sexy to him.
Dave, I love your huge sense of humor. It really turns me on.
And if you happen to show up at Olson's Books tonight, and then maybe followed his car to the hotel, and maybe gave... gave the bellhop one of your pills. And somehow got up to Dave's room.
The bellhop.
And I'm thinking very much like King of Comedy now, where poor Dave Barry is tied to a chair, like Jerry Lewis was, and you're like Simon Bernhardt, and you're dancing all over the room in your underwear. What would you do to Dave?
Oh, I can't say that on the air. You guys yelled at me for saying...
Dear. Okay.
You're right. No, you can't say bull ass. Right. You can't.
Have you guys heard that one?
You can't say either.
You can't say that.
I can't say
No, you can't. Now, listen, if you had Dave Barry tied up in a chair, what would you do to him? Just use initials if you have to.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you have him bound to a chair. And Dave, if you're listening right now, how you doing, pal? So you're alone in a hotel room with your favorite author, Dave Barry.
It's interesting. You're doing a good job of leading her through this fantasy a little bit here.
No, I'm just trying to oogie out Dave. And also I want to mention, in case he's listening, everybody should know, he grabbed our asses.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I'm so jealous.
Well, you were very generous to me giving me that book. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Read it last night.
Thank you very much.
That's another great compliment I should have given Dave.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got an hour to spend,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tear right through it.
Absolutely.
Columns. Great. How do you feel about Dave Barry's columns?
I like his columns. I would like him to read probably, I would say, a month's worth of columns to me.
Oh, now that's nice.
There you go.
That's nice.
I think his book is an agreeable 48-minute read.
Mm-hmm.
If you got 48 minutes...
You're a fast reader.
No,
I couldn't knock it out in an hour.
I take my time. I read for pleasure.
Read for pleasure.
Yeah.
I like that.
So now you've got Dave tied up in this chair in the hotel.
Yeah.
What do you do to him?
Oh, come on, guys. I'm not that kind of girl.
Well, have fun with it. Have fun, Gore-Tex.
Use your imagination. No, I would seriously have him read his columns while I... he would just have to sit back and read. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many times have you been hospitalized?
Not yet.
Really? And the Medicaid...
I've had many friends who've been to Crownsville, and I've visited them.
You've been to where?
Crownsville.
Crownsville. I got you.
That's a real place.
I know it is.
It is. Yep.
So the medicine's working for you?
I don't know.
Do you get your meds from a doctor, or do you get them off the Internet?
Actually, my father's a doctor.
Really?
We have script pads at home.
Handy. Oh, wow. How convenient is that?
You have script pads at home.
Have you got Daddy's signature down pat?
Yeah, I like to think so.
This bulletin just in, Joe Ardinger would like to date you.
Yes. Buzz would like to leave his wife for you.
I'll hook you up.
Wow.
No.
Do you find that the medications that you're on have dampened your sex drive at all?
Oh, no, nothing can put a damper on that.
Really? Huh.
When's the last time you had good, full-on sex?
Probably the night of the hurricane.
Oh, okay. Well, so it's been a while.
Was it with a dead guy or a guy who was alive?
It was alive and well.
Really?
Was he willing?
Yes.
Is this a regular boyfriend?
I don't know what he is.
Booty call?
No, we're just dating.
Was it just hurricane sex?
Yeah. It was a booty call during the hurricane.
I bet a lot of people did have hurricane sex. What, Cortez? Ramble what?
You know how crazy I am? I was the only person driving home on 50 at like 1:30.
Right in the middle of the hurricane.
It was coming through, yeah. Wow.
It's extraordinarily dangerous.
It was worth it, though. It was worth it.
Did you make the guy wear...
I don't remember.
Oh, dear.
What if you're pregnant?
I'm just kidding. No, yeah. I'm not.
How do you know?
I know these things.
You know?
I honestly don't remember.
Wow. Well, you know me,
I'm crazy.
If you did get pregnant, boy or girl, you must name the baby Isabel.
If it's a girl, Donna, and if it's a guy, Mike, how about that?
Or how about, no matter what the sex, you name it Dave, for Dave Bear.
Dave, that is good. That's a good idea.
That is good. So when this conversation is over, which is going to be just any second now, what are you going to do with the rest of your day?
I'm going to rush home and think of Dave and you guys, too.
Where are you right now?
What?
If you're not at home, where are you right
now? I'm at work. My coworker put me up to this. He insisted that I call.
Hmm.
Can I say his name?
Yeah, but first let me ask you, what do you do? Can you give us like a general idea what you do?
I'm an administrative assistant.
You're a secretary?
Talk. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to see that movie, by the way.
What movie?
Secretary. Have you guys seen that?
The movie Secretary?
Yeah. It's some kind of soft. Something. I guess it was in
softcore porn.
I don't know. Something like
Have you ever been in porn? Have you ever been photographed while having sex?
No, not yet.
Not yet, good girl. Thinking about naming that baby Prozac?
All right, guys, I need to go home because all this talk about Dave is getting me hot.
Okay.
Understood.
All right.
Understood.
And I just wanted to say thanks, Zach, for turning me on to Don and Mike. He's listening right now.
Zach and Gortek. Little Miss Imbalance.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye, guys.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
That was fun.
Hello.
First of all, I'd like to propose marriage to Gortek. She's my dream woman.
You like her?
Gortek,
yeah.
Right.
I certainly would like her medication, if nothing else.
Is it Gortek or Gortex?
Tex.
Well, I know it's Gore-Tex, I know, but I mean, we could change it to Gore-Tex.
I like Gore-Tex better than Gore-Tex.
Listen, that movie she was talking about, Secretary, none of you guys have seen that?
No.
It's a James Spader movie. It's about a guy and a secretary in a very kinky little S&M relationship. I recommend it highly.
Oh,
all right, thank you. That's another scary caller. That's two scary callers in a row. And now let's make it three. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, go ahead, Mike. Is she still on the line?
No, she's gone, Dennis.
Oh, shoot, man.
I know. She was right up your alley,
perfect
right, Dennis?
For you, Dennis.
It's been 2 years.
Don't you need to tend to those choppers before you get any strange, though?
But the choppers are going well.
Your teeth are doing well?
They're going well. Hey, I'm no goo.
Have you been to the dentist?
A month ago.
Time to go again.
Hold on. Here's Joe with some kind of an update. Joe.
Dennis, we have her phone number on file if you want.
Okay.
Joe, why don't you call her first and ask her if she'd like Dennis to call her?
Yeah.
Right. I think even a nut job deserves that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not talking about you, Dennis. I'm talking about her.
You're attracted to her, Dennis?
I will try to, you know, co-worker.
coercer.
what the hell does that mean?
I think he will try to
put her in the trunk of his car.
Getting back to being tied to a chair again. Hi, my name is Dennis Murphy. I'd like to coerce you.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis?
Yeah.
What is your daily dental regimen?
Oh, daily dental? I brush my teeth in the morning.
What's your regimen?
What?
Your mental regimen.
Regimen.
When you brush your teeth in the morning, does the sink look like it's filled with raspberry Jell-O?
Actually, blood got coming out a couple of months ago.
Oh, that's good.
Really? That's good news.
So no blood coming out.
I think generally that's a positive sign when blood stops coming out.
Yeah.
Dennis, when you spit out the toothpaste, do teeth clatter around your basin?
I have a special toothpaste.
What kind of toothpaste?
Biotene.
Biotene?
Yeah, $4.99 at Walmart.
Biotene.
Hey, listen, Dennis. Is it true yesterday when Tom Gavin was on the show? Did you call him up?
No, I just knew what it meant. So apparently, he does know what it means.
No, but he said at one point, "Murphy's calling me." So
I called him. He really, you know what?
And did he?
He said he did.
Yeah. Did he describe what had happened? So you knew he was telling the truth.
He said his.
It just gets better and better.
Mike, excuse me, like...
Oh, come on.
Hey, Dennis, do you floss your teeth with a bike chain?
No, actually, I have this plastic pick that they gave me. It's a vodka pick.
You monster.
A plastic pick.
Yeah.
Right.
It's working well, Mike.
Does it go right through the bone?
Great, B.
We're all talking to you, Dennis. It's not just me. Why does it always come on Mike?
Dennis, we got to go.
Okay, can I...
What do you want to plug?
Petco, please put my parents' house in power again.
Your parents are still out of power?
Since Thursday.
Now, do you have power, Dennis?
I have power. On Sweet Brown Parkway in Silver Spring. Petco, please.
Okay, stalkers, thieves. I hope you heard that address.
I just got Sweet Brown Parkway.
Does ice cream give you excruciating pain?
No, it doesn't, Mike. I have ice cream every day.
What about a nice cool glass of water?
Ice cool glass of water is, no problem.
Are you able to chew ice cubes?
I do it all the time.
Okay, just checking.
Can you chew tin foil?
Come tomorrow and do it.
What?
Chew ice cubes.
Can you come down tomorrow and chew ice cubes?
If you want.
All right, hold on. Talk to Joe. Get a time.
Okay, Gonkin. Hey, Mike.
Yes, Dennis.
Thank you, and Gonkin. You.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Dennis.
And Paco, put power in my phone call.
All right, very good.
Okay. Thank you. All right, hold on. Hold on, please, to get your time to come down tomorrow and chew ice on the show.
First ice and then foil.
Wow, it's been almost 6 days since his parents have been able to use their electric toothbrush.
First ice and then foil. I'm looking forward to that.
Good show.
Or whoever has to talk to him. For goodness sakes,
gets to
Dennis Murphy. Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Judy vented those frustrations in a series of taped recordings she intended to use to write her autobiography. Many of the recordings were dictated in the middle of the night when Garland was delirious from pills.
I'm mad. I am mad enough and yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk, because I can do something besides sing, you know. I don't always have to sing a song. There is something besides the man that got away, or the rainbow, or the trolley song. There's a woman. There are three children. There's me. There's a lot of life going here. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sonny, and welcome back, everybody, to the best of Don and Mike, and happy holidays. Artinger here, the legendary Joe Artinger with you, hosting this best of this week for you. Well done, Micron. A much-deserved and much-needed and well-resting vacation. Now, you know, last time Buzz had a birthday, Mike got him lots of presents. Or did he? Let's find out. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Today is Buzz's 50th birthday.
Ooh. Happy birthday, Buzz. Thank you, Mike.
We do kid Buzz a lot about his age.
You know, that's the thing I hear the most when I do go out and make one of these big appearances. Is it people come up
like
and say...
Like the JCPenney appearance, yeah. Which we never really talked about.
Two or three of the dozen people came up and said...
You thought you were younger?
You don't look nearly as old as they say you are.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was a joke.
I guess a good thing.
Yeah. You know, still later in today's show, or maybe not of today, we're jammed up today, aren't we, Robbie? Maybe tomorrow we'll have to do that segment, Brush with Buzz, to find someone who actually went to JCPenney Saturday morning to see Buzz collect his check.
You know, years ago, Buzz was falling apart, and Buzz has rebounded to be in a very, very good physical condition. And
best of my life.
You are also in physical condition, and I'm finally getting myself in physical condition.
You're trying.
And Rob is planning on getting himself in physical condition, too.
Well, really? I'm planning to...
He's getting fat.
I always kind of thought metabolically he wouldn't have to worry about that. And it is... I find a little bit of comfort in the fact that he's starting to balloon.
So here's the deal. It's Buzz's birthday, and I know Mike has a presentation for him, but I have something. Buzz,
I really don't, Don.
That's right. Someone special's coming in.
Yes. One of my employees.
I did want to... and I want you to know, my employees did not do this for me. I did this, myself. Wanted to share a moment with Buzz, especially after speaking with him, and he told me how 50. And one of the things Buzz said to me is, and I hope you don't mind that I'm sharing this.
Go
Buzz
ahead.
Said, the thing is, God damn it. Maybe he said God damn it, maybe he didn't. He said...
He doesn't use that word.
He uses other words.
Yeah.
He said, when you're 50, it's like, if you were going to do something great, you would have done it.
Right.
So what you're doing is what you're doing. And... You know, even though, as I stated yesterday, you know, I won't be doing this when I'm 50, but it's you and everybody has different guidelines.
That's right.
And for you, perhaps 55 will be where you say, no, I don't think so, or maybe it'll be 60, or maybe it'll be...
What are you now, 45?
45. Mm-hmm. And you're 45?
44.
44. And,
you know that.
What?
You know that.
I know that. It's just in payback.
I'm the booby. I'm the baby of this little truck.
No, hey, hold on right here.
Well, I know. He's 10.
How old are you, Robbie?
32.
Oh, my God. Anyway,
I'd
Buzz.
I'd trade for that.
Buzz, I do happen to say...
Wouldn't trade for that.
Oh, God, you're killing me, Rob. Rob was looking right at me, waiting for me to say something, and I just pulled off it. Didn't say anything.
Good for you.
Well, Buzz, I was going through some tapes. Because, you know, out of everybody in this room, all of you guys, my dearest friends, and I really mean that, I've worked with Buzz and known Buzz the longest.
You have?
So... I remember back to when Buzz turned 30.
Okay.
When Buzz also had a mini crisis.
I'm not surprised.
He couldn't handle 30. 30 wasn't bad for me.
30 was a big deal to Buzz.
I hate them all now.
Not as big as this 50 is, but 30 was a year old. Mm-hmm. And Buzz, you said, well, gosh, what if you get to 50 and you realize that what you're doing, this is what you're doing and you're stuck with it?
Yeah.
Well, I have news for you. Mm-hmm. And it holds true for everybody in this room.
Okay.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is as far as it gets. And I have news for you. 20 years ago, right around your 30th birthday, you were doing virtually the same thing that you're doing now.
Really?
Much as I was, much as Mike was, just in a different form.
Wow.
Let's go back.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Very good.
1983, late 1983, early 1984.
Okay.
I'm only going to play you just like 5 minutes of this scoped... It's 5 minutes of... No, I take it back. It's like it's a minute and a half.
All right.
This is from when I did the morning show in Chicago, and you'll hear a little bit of me. We turned
it up. When you talk like that, give the callers, because I think people that were in that area, they always like to know.
D96.
D96 was the name of the radio station in Chicago.
WBBM.
Right.
And you're going to hear a little bit of me with the record, and then it's Buzz as Mike Elston.
This was the heyday.
So here you go, Buzz. You really do. Oh, it's a number one? Here we go. It's
best
about 2 minutes long.
Please call in anytime with these fabulous illusions.
Okay.
What is your number one radio station?
B96.
Hey, how about a B96 shirt for you?
Hey, that sounds great.
Right, say goodbye, Larry.
Goodbye, Larry.
Hey, Larry disappear.
We'll work on it.
There.
music.
They hate the fact that you talk like once the singing started.
Yeah. Then you have to play a jingle.
I love it.
Here comes the jingle. Here.
To meet you and pinch your chubby cheeks. This Sunday I'll be at the Holiday Inn O'Hare, 12:30. If you want to benefit from muscular dystrophy, I'd like to meet you.
That was a lie. I didn't want to meet you, buddy.
Of course not. I don't like those jingles.
Between every record. But I only played a couple records.
I'm Billy Idol, a man who wears a dog collar and looks darn handsome wearing it. It's, 21 and a half past seven. I'm Don Geronimo along with Mike Elson. Were you watching Channel 5 by any chance last night?
No.
I think it was right before 8 o'clock. You know when they come on at the end of a show and they have, like, Ron Major say what's coming up on the news?
Oh, yeah.
Here's exactly what this guy said. He said, well, it's raining like holy sin outside. Luciano Pavarotti. Plane.
We just stop this for a second. You see my point, Buzz?
Yeah, really? I do. It's frightening.
What really has changed?
Nothing.
I'm running my mouth. The only difference now is you have two guys running their mouths.
Yes,
while,
indeed.
While you are desperately trying to get a word in, but but there's a little more of Buzz doing the actual news here.
Very good.
Right in the beginning.
He'll be diverted away from O'Hare, but he'll land tonight at 10:30. Details on Channel 5 News at 10.
Ooh.
Struck me as kind of stupid.
Had people in suspense for 2.5 hours.
I didn't even know that Luciano Pavarotti was coming. What? You have something, Karen?
Except just before Cheers, you might have noticed that he said Luciano Pavarotti will take Chicago by storm. And then, of course, after Cheers, they came on and said the storm has taken Luciano Pavarotti.
I love Channel 5.
I was doing some groundbreaking radio back then.
Channel 7 is
high energy morning show.
22 minutes after 7.
Did the mayor and Ed Verdoliak accomplish anything when they met yesterday to divvy up some clout?
At 7:27, winds are north at 6. Humidity's 84%. It's 67 at O'Hare, 73 at the lakefront. I'm Karen Hayes.
And I'm Mike Elston on B96.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Betty. As usual, this time it's time for Sleaze Bucket News. We got the
and okay, that's when we go back to the DJ stuff. But there was at some point the birthday is going to be addressed as far as 30, or was that just when he turned 30?
That was on the day he turned 30, and there was no...
You don't have any banter about him being 30 or anything?
There was none.
It's just a reminder that, for me, really nothing's changed.
You sound exactly the same.
Yeah, tape's a little fast, but yeah, basically we do sound the same.
You sound very different, but the tapes are parsed up, too.
No, and I was really pushing, though, back then, Mike, on WBBM-FM Good Morning, because I had to talk so fast, because I only had a certain amount of time to say what I wanted to say.
When we were doing the morning show at WABA, isn't that the way the we call it a skimmer? It's a machine that when you key your microphone, the cassette recorder starts. And whenever you duplicate that onto another piece of tape, it always seems to run a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Or were you sounding like that, and we really sounded like that when we were at WAVA?
We really sounded like that.
Like we were talking like that, okay, fantastic.
Because we were.
All right, it was higher energy. When did we start relaxing?
After we left that station.
When we realized high energy is jive.
Okay. It wasn't until we, and even now, with what we do now in some circles, what we do is considered...
Too high energy?
High energy talk radio.
Yeah.
we've had some say, hey, the show's okay, but slow down.
Yeah. There's too slow much... We've always hated dead air.
I know there's a lot of you out there listening saying, slow down. When are you going to put your foot on the gas pedal? This is the slowest show I've ever heard in my life. Well, we're moving at the speed we're moving at.
That's
so,
right.
So, Buzz, that's my...
Great memory. Those were great times.
It was a quick 20 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was.
Yes, it
Where
was.
Where the hell did it go?
And, gosh, you know, here I think I've got it covered. I gave Buzz a gift. And a card and pulled out some tape from 20 years ago. But once again, the golden boy trumpets me and, well, let me turn this...
Trumps you.
Yes. Excuse me. Well, I was going to say trumpet only because...
You have trumpets ready.
We have trumpets.
All right.
Let's go right to the golden boy. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike O'Mara of your Boston Red Sox.
Thank you, Don, and congratulations to the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
More pain to come. I would like to bring in my number one employee and a person that really has assisted me in so many of my endeavors.
The golden boy.
Can we bring in my butler, R.J. Diaz, please? Raymond?
Raymond Diaz.
Can you come in here?
This is not a joke.
No. Buzz, why don't you come over here?
I'd be happy
Mike's
to do that.
Butler. This is for you, and I'll put my feet down. Ugh, okay. Got to go to work. Come on in there, Raymond. All righty. Buzz, why don't you sit down over there? We'll have Raymond come in and get in between us.
There
he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Raymond Diaz.
My butler. Raymond.
Now, where's the suit?
That's his suit. That's the way. We don't require like a business suit around the house. It's a black casual, like odd job. That's the way it goes. Hello, Raymond.
Wow, look at this array of
Hi,
gifts.
Raymond.
Good afternoon.
So
happy
here
birthday,
he is.
Bud.
Thank you.
Doesn't he sound like a butler? Good afternoon. Good afternoon. 27 minutes past the hour.
RJ, let me ask you, on behalf of everybody, how's it working out being Mike's butler?
It's a real blast, actually.
There you see. Could he say anything else? He loves being in my employ. I mean, how could anyone not? It's really kind of a nonstop party. It's a part-time gig. It's not a full-time gig. And we work very well together.
What's the most demeaning thing Mike has asked you to do?
Well, I don't think we'll bring that up on the air.
You can go ahead. You can share. The life's an open book.
Actually, there has really been nothing demeaning.
Uh-huh.
It's just after his long nights of festivities, sometimes it gets a little carried away. But it's...
Well, I think what he's probably talking about, I know him. He's probably talking about the fact that sometimes late at night, when he lives on the other side of town, he will have to ferry me home first because I live way out, and I just won't drink and drive, so I require him to be the wheelman. Thank you.
Come pick you up.
No, drop me off.
Drop me off, I got you.
Usually, if the night is late, it's a late night, and I haven't
come to
successfully
joint.
Found another ride. So if you get my drift,
so he comes to the joint and he drives your car home.
Unless
you've picked up.
Yes.
Oh, honey.
Exactly. But we've also, there have been many times when a bunch of us have gone out to breakfast late at night, and then, but you know, quite often, I'd say there are probably 10 or 15 times. Raymond has driven me to my domicile, and that's terrific. And there have been odd jobs, sundry jobs that have been done, and you know, this really is, I think right now, we're taking what RJ does, as far as I'm concerned, we're elevating it. We're moving it into, because we had discussions, you had joked on the air, you know, are you going to have your butler go out and get gifts for Buzz? And like a day or two passed, and one day I picked up the phone, and it was RJ on the other end, and said, are you really interested in me doing that? And I said, yes.
Of course.
Yes, of course. And really, all of these gifts, although Buzz, they're from my heart.
Yes.
Is this my right-hand man?
Do you know what they are, Mike?
I know.
No.
RJ,
I have a general idea. Like, it's a this, a that, but I don't know what the specific items are. What I left instructions. There was, of course, a price ceiling.
Of course.
That was the most important fact. And then I instructed RJ, do not purchase gag gifts. I said, buy things you think. He is a big supporter of the show. You know that. He's listened to the show for years.
Right.
Buy Buzz things that you think Buzz will really enjoy.
Oh, this is great.
And, you know, we had a couple of consultations. Would this be appropriate? I think there was a yes, there was a no. But in general, my man about town, right here.
Your butler.
My, what do they call it? What's another name for a butler?
Gentleman's gentleman.
My gentleman's gentleman, Don, thank you. My gentleman's gentleman, actually.
Your house boy?
No, you can't. Look at him. No, you can't call him a house boy.
That's
you know, I'm a little insulted by that,
man,
actually. I think you've got to apologize.
I have a question for Raymond.
Yes.
That I'm going to hold up and simply give me a yes or no answer. Don't let Mike see it, please. Just yes or no. You're his butler, you would know.
I am believing it is a yes, but I don't have any exact detail to make that claim.
Come on, show me what the question was.
Does Mike get laid? Just curious.
He wouldn't be around me when that happens.
Yeah, but, I mean...
Good!
He's witness.
Here's what
he's
I'm imagining.
He's witness things, but I mean, no, really...
Here's what I'm imagining. It's some morning, and, you know, it's 10 o'clock, maybe, and
he never sleeps over.
No, I'm not indicating that.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your boudoir.
Yeah.
Suddenly there's a knock on the door. You know, the young woman says, the first thing she says is, I'm timing.
Yeah.
But after that she says, she says, who could that be? And you know, you jump up and you're panicked by it. You throw on her robe.
He's not throwing me under the bus.
And go to the door and you say, Raymond, now's not a good time. And Raymond's standing there with the mop and with the vacuum cleaner.
You got it all wrong. And he's not throwing me under the bus because really he's sworn to secrecy. This is not anything he had to sign. This is what an honorable gentleman's gentleman does.
That's right.
Sometimes in the morning when we're there, RJ will come in. He will raise the blinds and say good morning. He will bring us fresh squeezed orange. And then I will play with my trains. No,
but
he's usually long gone.
But you have a butler, and he's here now.
He's the only individual that has a key to my house. He is the only person that has a key to my... And that is the truth.
And to your heart.
And to my heart. I trust him. I trust him implicitly. You build trust after all this time.
Now let's go to Raymond the Butler for the presentation.
Wonderful.
Of Buzz's birthday gift, courtesy of Mike O'Meara. And Raymond, if you wouldn't mind, make sure you say every time, courtesy of Master O'Meara, or courtesy of
Mike. It's fine.
Mike is fine?
Mike thought you'd like, you know, that type of thing. I'm as excited about this as you are, Buzz.
And now, happy birthday.
There you go.
This is
great.
Yes, Buzz, on behalf of your wonderful birthday today, Mr. O'Meara has asked that we take care of a few things.
Okay.
And let's see.
I know
there is no chronological, or shall we say, relevance to any of the packages here, but I'm just deciding which one should we try first.
All right. You sound like the butler.
Let's go for this.
Okay, before the cards.
Well, actually, if you would like to open the cards first.
You want to do the cards first?
Which would you prefer?
Are the cards funny, RJ, or can he save those for later?
Okay. I didn't want to stretch it too much with the humor, because that's what you guys do. Come on.
We don't need the cards.
Okay, well, wait.
Come on,
just clap his hands at RJ.
No need for the card.
And open the first package.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, Buzz?
It appears to be a clothing item.
Ah, hey, cool. What is it, Buzz?
Well, it's rather intimate. Well, first of all, it's a long sleeve, no, short sleeve, like, T-shirt.
What size,
yeah.
Buzz?
And it's, it's extra small. No, it's medium.
It's a medium.
Which is perfect.
Thank you.
That'll fit snugly.
It's a boy's medium, right?
And some silk boxers with $100 bills on them.
Hey. RJ, what brought you to purchase these gifts? Why did you think Mike would enjoy these gifts for Buzz?
Well, you see, the boxers, as the next gift may approach, will have some relevance. So
very good.
Oh,
I explained to RJ
the T-shirt.
The Buzz
Tommy
likes. Excuse me, RJ. I'm talking. I explained to Buzz that to RJ that Buzz likes his clothing to fit tightly, and that he's a sexual man, and that satin boxer shorts might be appropriate.
Yeah.
The dollar bills, totally his choice.
Your call. All
would
right.
Not have necessarily been my choice. We'll
and
speak
many,
about that later.
How many gifts are you presenting today, RJ?
Well, there's two additional boxes, but there are several things in both of the boxes.
Well, let's get right to it, then.
Wow. Right, I'm going for number two here.
Open it up, Buzz.
This one up.
Right. See what you have.
A medium-sized box with snakes and alligators on the outside.
Very nice wrapping paper.
Yeah.
RJ, do you wrap it, or is that paid for like at a mall?
Again, this is courtesy of Fair Old Small.
All right. What, you get a deal? You don't need to give them a plug.
And Buzz is opening it in. What is it, Buzz?
Another box inside. It's a Fifan and filter, whatever that is.
What is that?
I don't know.
RJ, right. Can you explain?
Why, it's a pipe.
It's a pipe.
It's a pipe.
It's a pipe.
I get
it. And don't get confused with any of the past goings on in the show. This is really a meaningful event.
Right. Real pipe.
This is a real pipe, absolutely.
This is the kind of pipe a 50-year-old would use.
Exactly. That's,
you can put anything in that pipe, Buzz. That's fine.
Thank you, Mike.
Very nice.
And another box within the box.
What we have here?
In the same box as the pipe is a pipe stand.
A pipe
stand. Very nice.
Sounds nice.
Very dignified.
That.
Thank you.
And again, that would be so you could mount it on your...
Let me rest the pipe in the pipe stand.
All right, move it along. Come on.
Here we go.
I'm getting bored. I'm getting bored. You're boring me.
It's lovely.
What's the other gift?
We wish to see some other gifts be opened.
All right.
And the third package, which will go along with the satin shorts, I believe you understand.
The third package.
The third package.
A slightly smaller package, but again with the snake wrapping paper on it.
He's tearing through those
perhaps
those
you may want to keep that box standing straight up.
Okay. Even with his arthritic hands.
The fluids. Hey, there are indeed fluids.
What are they, Buzz?
From the body shop. I have massage body oils.
So you and your honey can rub down each other.
Oh, man, that's excellent. And citrus blend oil for massage.
That's nice.
Very nice. Thank you. And a gift certificate.
There certainly would be one more item in the box, I believe.
Oh, there would? Down further in the tissue paper here. One final small bottle of, it's a chapstick, but it's made of hemp. It's a hemp chapstick.
Very nice.
That's terrific.
Very nice, RJ. Excuse me, very nice, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. Buzz?
You're welcome. Thank you, Mike.
And wonderful gifts. I thought you'd like all those.
You did a good job. Thank you for remembering. These are wonderful. Thank you.
And they're legitimate gifts. All those you can use. I can't wait to see you in that baby blue sweater.
Can and will.
Very nice.
All right.
Happy birthday, Buzz.
Thank you very much.
You can read the cards later.
I will.
Important to read them.
I will. I'll read them during the break.
All right. Thanks, RJ.
RJ, we're all done here. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll see you to settle up the bill. You can put it on my account.
And RJ, you getting the paper there? That's good.
You did a fine job. I'm very pleased. Very pleased. You know, don't give me that look. You did a good job. I'm very happy with the gifts you got.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Thank you, Vern.
Thank you. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, RJ.
Good day to you, sir.
All right.
Bye, then.
Okay. There he goes. He's leaving now.
There goes Mike's Butler.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mike's Butler Raymond.
Thank you, RJ. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Raymond. Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, I am pissed.
Why?
Why? He did great.
He could have done a lot better. I'll talk to him.
He did fine.
It's his first time.
He's a very
he'll learn.
Buying your gifts.
By your birthday next year, he will ace it.
Buying your gifts.
It'll be fun.
It's the thought that counts.
I hope you enjoy the cards.
I will.
Very good.
Thank you.
Cards that Mike hasn't seen. Now, did you even sign them?
No, he signed them for me. Raymond signed them for me. He said that they are not over the top funny, but they're lighthearted.
Uh-huh. Buzz without open one. Don't read the card. Just read the inscription.
Okay. Well, and many more. Mike O.
My pleasure, Buzz. Glad to celebrate your 50. How often does a guy turn 50?
Not every day, Mike.
It's terrific.
And then the inscription on the other one is, not to worry, it only gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, signed RJ.
Oh.
So it's two cards.
Hey,
it's one card from you and a card from RJ. That's very nice. Thank
that
you.
Is unacceptable.
That is completely unacceptable.
Really? That says to me you'll want to see an itemized breakdown of the purchased item.
Absolutely.
Really, you shouldn't be buying RJ's.
Or, right. Oh. No. I'll have a word with him. Oh.
No, please don't.
So hard to get good help these days.
Jeez, I want to remember that.
Unbelievable.
Well, happy birthday,
Buzz.
Did he
give you a personal card from him?
Yeah, it's signed RJ.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Buzz.
Right.
But only after he'd given me one from you.
Yeah. Fine. I'm happy. Yeah, I'll speak to him during the commercial break.
Speak to your butler.
Yeah, you don't give a personal gift. Those gifts and cards were courtesy of Mr. O'Meara.
Yes, they were.
I don't understand this.
Well, bring him back. I got 1 minute. Bring RJ back.
Yeah, he'll understand that he's made a terrible mistake.
Bring him back. How dare he?
I hope he's got some sort of explanation here.
About that pipe, that old time Fred McMurray pipe looks good on you.
Thank you. It feels good.
That looks good on you.
Hello. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? A little personal thing? Couldn't you have done that on your own time?
Well, I was going to, and since you didn't want to read the cards on the air, I kind of felt that probably I could just give them both of them now.
Did you know that we weren't going to read the cards on the air and you brought them in here?
No, that's why I was only going to hand them the one from you.
There's a chance we would have read both cards on the air. All right. I think you know you've made a mistake. That's all I ask.
Gosh.
I just ask that you don't repeat the mistake, okay?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Okay, you can go. You may go.
Thank you.
Let me just say, and I don't have service, Mike, but if I had one, hold on there, RJ. I'd make him go over to Buzz's studio, X out RJ, and write Mike O.
Capital idea. Can you do that right now for me?
Capital idea.
Thank you.
Buzz has a Sharpie over there.
Yeah. What's that? I'm sorry, do you have something else to say? He wanted to say something. I'm sorry, your microphone wasn't turned on. Just as well.
Capital idea.
Oh, my God. You try to train.
All right, Buzz, is he over there yet?
Yes, he's just arrived, and I have the pen ready.
And? Is he doing it now?
Yes, he is.
Our talk is over. Very good.
Signed Mike O. Now.
There you go. Okay. Now you know how much Mike cares.
All right. Thank you. You'll have everything ready for the big party this weekend? Very good.
Mike wants to know if you'll have everything ready for the big party this weekend.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's a yes.
Okay.
Thank you. It's terrific. Okay, good work, RJ. You made that right.
I just want everybody out there to know this is not a bit.
No, it is not.
That's the disclaimer.
This is not a bit. Okay.
And that is wrong because...
I know. Because...
That is wrong on what level?
On no level.
Yeah.
You're busy.
I'm extremely busy.
You got a lot of things happening.
It's not like he does laundry or anything like that. Hey. Thinking out loud.
Has he washed a dish?
Yeah, probably.
He has.
I don't know. I'm not sure whether he's put things away. He straightens up. I don't think he's actually physically washed dishes in the house.
Let the boy buttle. Let him buttle. Let the boy buttle. That's what
You know what I like? He's got a certain amount of panache.
No, oh, right.
That's what I like. I mean, he conducts himself in such a way.
He's a gent's gent.
He is. He does a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, can I say this without appearing to be too weak in his eyes? He's kind of like family.
Oh, no.
He's really kind of like family.
Has he ever been in your bedroom?
Been in my bedroom?
Has he been in your bedroom, your personal
area? I don't think so.
Area?
I don't think he has.
Not yet.
Not yet. Because you're showing a lot of
when we're
love.
On the road,
you're
slept together. No.
You're showing a lot of love for a salaried employee.
Yes.
Who's on your payroll. I mean, that's wonderful in this day and age.
Yes.
I mean, look at us. We're salaried employees, and we can't get light bulbs for our studio.
I understand.
Yet here you are giving love.
Don, it's just like somebody once told me, treat your customers well, treat your employees better.
Yeah.
And I live by that credo.
Good for you.
And boy, now do I feel dumb.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And I actually got in the car and drove to the store to buy the gift for Buzz.
Yeah.
Egg on my face.
I understand.
How about you, Rob? You do it yourself?
Handled everything on my own.
On your own?
Yeah, so nice. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Need I remind you what you two gentlemen have in your lives that I don't have? They're called wives. And when you are a Bill Bixby, you simply... bring a gentleman's gentleman. When you are a...
My wife did nothing to help me on this, though.
It doesn't matter. It's the other elements of your life that they help out in. I'm Brian Keith. Don't you understand? Isn't it clear to you?
Hate family affair. Okay, I got you. All right. You're a busy socialite.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a butler. I'm down with that.
It's essential.
I'm okay with
that. And I moved this week, too. I moved from the east to the west wing.
That your
was,
home?
That was taxing.
Let me explain.
I mean, I supervised.
Mike moved from upstairs to downstairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he moved some bedrooms around.
Yes, I did.
You were stairs.
Overwhelming success, I might add.
And did RJ do a lot of that?
No, this particular move was handled by professionals. Not that he's not professional. It's wonderful.
Welcome to Family Affair. Aha!
Greetings, RJ. What is for dinner this evening? Which tie? Should it be the blue or the red tie? Time to go out. what a wonderful evening I'm going to have. You wait right here.
He's got one of those little whisk brushes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you stand in front of the mirror and he's doing that thing, getting the hair off your shoulders or whatever. You
know. RJ, the guests have arrived.
Very good.
All right.
Draw my bath. RJ, wash me.
Oh, no. Hasn't gotten to that level yet.
Wash me. Well, happy birthday, Buzz.
Happy birthday, Buzz.
Thank you all.
Okay. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chance. Okay?
Come on, Don. Don't be scared.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. Ah, we love the chancy man. The chancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little cozy. And that is why we love the chancy man. The chancy man. Bum, 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 bum.
The Don and Mike Show. The best of Don and Mike.
That's right, everybody, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Hey, before we get back into the best of Don and Mike, let's see what's happening on Access Hollywood. Access Hollywood for Wednesday, December 22nd, 2004.
Sly Stallone tells us how he's bringing Rocky back with his hotly anticipated reality series. It's next in the Access Hollywood update.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
Did you see the Visa National Treasure promotion in today's paper?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, if you win, all of your 2004 Visa purchases could be free.
Too bad you didn't buy that much.
Well, there were those chandelier earrings.
When did you...
And that home manicure set.
That was...
Oh, and those black leather shoes with that really cute silver buckle. Oh, those sunglasses.
Hey, those treasures you've been hiding all year could actually be treasure. Use your Visa card in November and December, and you're automatically entered for a chance to win all of your 2004 Visa purchases for free.
Oh, and the coffee table.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and those designer jeans.
Right.
Oh, and the digital camera.
But those are gifts.
And
winners receive the total amount of Visa purchases made on their winning Visa card from January 1st to December 31st, 2004. And if you want to find more treasure with your Visa card, use it to see National Treasure, now in theaters. Visa. It's everywhere you want
to
be.
No purchase or obligation necessary to enter or win. For details on non-purchase entries, including complete official rules, go to Visa.com/win or call 1-800-527-6800. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 years and older as of 11-104. Promotion ends 12-31-04.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nancy O'Dell with the Access Hollywood Update. And the contender has Hollywood heavyweights fighting for ringside seats.
We're going to embark on a journey that shows the other side of the fighters.
Host Sylvester Stallone has brought the heart and soul of Rocky to NBC's The Contender. Sly and creator Mark Burnett hope to show the fighters softer sides.
This is a story. It's not a sports show. It's a romantic drama following 16 young men's hopes and their dreams.
The men are vying for the $1 million prize and boxing contract.
They're confronting a man who basically standing in their way and their family's way of a new life. Think about it.
For all of your Hollywood news, you can click on to AccessHollywood.com.
The Don and Mike Show. And we're back after those words from Access Hollywood. Check it out tonight. Now, back into the best of Don and Mike. And I'm playing Elvis. That can only mean one thing. There's some ElvisMasterTape.com involved on the best of Don and Mike.
Mike, here's the deal now. Rob, I need you on the microphone very quickly before we bring this guy on. This is Elvis stuff. Now, here's... I want to give you the front on the story and then the legwork that Rob did.
All right.
Elvis fans who want to own a piece of history soon will be able to own something. Later this month, there's a company that owns the master tape to Elvis's Sun Sessions.
Mm. You know, in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, they're taking these tapes and they're cutting them into 2-inch strips.
Oh, so this isn't music. This is the actual tape itself?
Yeah. Hold on. Now, wait. It gets more. The tape snippets, the 2-inch strip of tape, which, for all you know, could be somebody going, you know, test one, two, because it's old, allegedly from Elvis's first recording session.
Right.
Your 2 inches of tape will be placed on a plaque, which we've seen and is plenty cheesy, and sold for $495 each.
Sure.
Mike Esposito is the man.
Huh. Is he related to Joe Esposito?
He is not.
The music on the tape is preserved, but the original master is so badly deteriorated that they said if you happen to take this tape and try to play it, mm-hmm. somehow, it would instantly burn into flame. Burst into flame.
Wow.
And now you have
that makes sure people don't play it. That's
before
right.
we talk to this guy and just tell him what an evil bastard he is, I had Rob do some math. I said, okay.
I love math.
Given that there are these reels of tape that allegedly have Elvis recordings on them, and they're going to take the reels of tape and cut the little pieces of recording tape into pieces of 2-inch strips.
Right.
Rob, do the math.
All right, I'll go through this quickly. By my records, Elvis did 19 songs at Sun Studios.
Okay.
There are 7 alternate cuts that are known to exist, resulting in a total of 26 recordings.
Okay.
And let's just, for the sake of estimation, say each song was 2.5 minutes long.
Yeah, let's say that it really is the master tape.
Yeah, right. And it's 2.5 minutes. Some were shorter, some were longer, but right. we'll use 2.5 as the average. This results in 65 minutes of music, or 3,900 seconds. Now, let's assume further that they use the industry standard of 15 inches per second today.
Right, right.
Okay, this would require 58,500 inches of tape, which would yield 29,252 inches, 2-inch pieces of tape.
Yeah.
So, at $495 for 2-inch segment,
yes.
this would yield $14,478,750. Please keep in mind this does not include dead tape between songs, or the tape at the beginning or the end of the reel that is traditionally blank.
That's good for another $2 million.
I'm guessing that the blank tape will also be sold.
Oh,
also,
sure.
as noted above, these figures do not reflect outtakes, mistakes, and fooling around.
So Rob's estimate, bottom wow. line, if this guy sells out...
And he sold just the songs.
Right.
These little 2-inch pieces of tape, he stands to make between $14 and $16 million.
Plus shipping and handling, no doubt. That's TPP,
right.
baby.
Let's talk to him now. Here on All Things Elvis, from his website, ElvisMasterTape.com, here is Mike Esposito. Mike!
Mike. Hello, good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Good, how you doing? Well, listen, we're huge Elvis fans. We just did our Elvis birthday show last week.
Thank you very much.
We have the Elvis tribute show coming up. I cannot imagine a better gift
than these two-inch snippets of tape that you're offering.
Will there be a certificate of authenticity?
Yes, in fact, there will be. It will be authenticated by Tony Bon Jovi, a well-known recording engineer from the Bon Jovi success.
Johnny Bon Jovi?
From the John Bon Jovi success, yes.
Oh, from Johnny Bon Jovi. You said Tony.
Well, Tony Bon Jovi.
Is Tony Bon Jovi related to John Bon Jovi?
Power Station, yes.
What?
A well-known engineer, Tony Bon Jovi.
But is he related to John Bon Jovi?
Yes, absolutely.
Mike, as his friends call him, Johnny Bon Jovi.
Johnny Bon Jovi, is he like Johnny Bon Jovi's cousin?
That's exactly right.
So these pieces of tape, these two-inch strips that you're selling, and incidentally, sign me up for at least two, maybe three, $495 each. I've seen the plaques. They're beautiful.
How are your advance sales?
The advance sales are going well, and everyone seems to love the concept. You know, I have to say that we're preserving each individual snippet of tape in a Mylar Lucite frame because the tape was actually disintegrating
That's plastic, right?
Each plaque, correct, on each plastic. Individual.
Mylar Lucite is kind of a fancy word for plastic, though, isn't it?
Well, that Mike, you're
well,
the college
it is,
guy.
But the Mylar itself has actually been designed to preserve the tape.
Oh, okay. There you go with that education again.
Sorry about that, Don.
All I know is that as an Elvis fan, I want a piece of history.
That's right.
If I was now...
Okay, sign me up, too.
I know that you said here in something that we received that it might burst into flame. If I was to get one, and I'm planning on getting three of these, if I was to get one of them and put some leader tape on one end and leader tape on the other end and run it through an old reel-to-reel tape machine...
Because you'd have, like, 6 inches of tape.
What would I hear?
You're actually going to hear seconds of the recording sessions from the Elvis 1954 5.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So you really could do that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if 100 people that purchased the tape were to link the tapes together, you know, you
but
would...
What about me with just my $495 that I pay?
Well, Don, it would be $495 per 2-inch piece of tape.
Well, I'm only... No, but all right, I'm buying three of them, though.
Right.
I think what we're going to attempt to do is actually get the music license from RCA so that you can, in fact, listen to the music that's on the tape.
Wow. Is there any discernible odor with these tapes?
Discernible, I'm sorry, I can't...
Odor.
After
all,
smell, aroma.
After all these years, you know, water damage,
The tape...
Well, there was some water damage on the box that was stored in. Yeah. But the tape itself, because of the oxides on the tape, it's oxidizing, and it's rusting. Rusting.
Mike, that we've given your website a plug here. ElvisMasterTape.com. The price is reasonable with the plaque, $495 plus shipping and handling. Let me just say, you bastard, that what you're doing is, I mean, you're a con artist, you're a rip-off artist. How the hell do I know that you don't have some old copy of a Daffy a Duck cartoon or a kid talking into a microphone going, test one, two, test one, two, and you put it on a plaque and you sell it for $500. God, do you realize that if you sell as much tape as you have, that you would yield at least $14,478,750? Every second...
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Well, that's 2 days
ago. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah, we're there.
Yes, every second of tape, blank or not, we'll yield you a profit of $3,712.
Wow.
You bastard.
Have you done the math?
Now listen, let's talk from one person who uses Elvis to another. I'm a user. I got him on the show twice a year. We do the whole thing.
Have you figured out the number that you'd realize if you sold all the tape you have?
But what dope is going to buy a piece of tape?
Is he there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm very surprised at what you're saying here on the air. Obviously, the tape has been forensically tested over the course of the last several years.
Have you
worked with the acknowledged experts with RCA as well as with Graceland on?
But have you thought about the profit end of it? How much money, if you sold all the tape you're going to do this with, how much money you'd make?
Of course he has.
Of course.
Mr. Dunn.
Well, what give us, come on.
There's no question.
Dude, listen, what I was trying to say to
you. Our entertainment budget for the year to buy the tape. There's no question about that.
Dude, here's the thing. What I was trying to explain to you. I'm an Elvis exploiter. I do it so people listen to our show. You're an Elvis exploiter, but you're an Elvis exploiter that's taking it to a whole new level. I'm doing it just so people will listen to our show.
Well, in a way, do you salute this guy then?
In a roundabout way, yes. Even though I called him a bastard, yes.
Well, I think we've both called each other bastards over the years.
I think he's going to be a rich bastard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just imagining, though, the type of trailer trash that you're going to get the $500, and they're going to get this thing, they're going to put it next to their statue of Dale Earnhardt, and put it to their gigantic Mr. Peanut stand-up.
Ben's going to... Graceland will be there to receive the first plaque when we make the official cut in New York City.
Has Graceland signed off on this, the Elvis
they
people?
They certainly have.
Mm-hmm. And how much...
of course.
Would you do us a favor and just...
There's money in it for them.
Give me the number that you... If you sold every bit that you want to make this, how much money would you make?
Our
would have to be up to the accountants to determine that, Don.
Give me a rough.
Our guesstimate was $14 million.
Does that match yours?
Let me say this: if we were to put the tape up to auction at Christie's, it would be worth several million dollars. There's no question about that.
The tape, the master tape itself.
If you didn't cut it into little 2-inch pieces,
is there any way of preserving the tape?
Well, the tape has already been digitally preserved. We've made copies of it. There's no question that if the music would ever have to be repressed or remade,
so you're saying
there
the
are
tape
copies of it.
You're saying the tape itself, if you sold it at Christie's, but cutting it into the 2-inch strips, how much do you think, really, at the end of the day, if this was...
Are we close to... Our guess was $14 million.
We said $14 million.
You're going to say it's going to go for millions if you sell it just as is at an auction. But if you chop it up into 2-inch strips...
Do you think... Could you realize at least $10 million out of this?
I'm not really sure what the total number will be.
Well, how about a ballpark?
I would say somewhere in the 5 to 7 range.
Well, that's all right, Mama.
That's right. That's all right.
All right for you.
That's all right. So let's say that I buy this.
Mama,
let me see how much I'd get. If I bought the $500, I'd go...
No, you wouldn't get that much.
I wouldn't get that much?
No.
How much would I get, Robbie?
Well, Mike, do you know the speed? Is it 7.5 inches per second or 15 inches per second of the original tape?
15 IPS tape.
15?
15 IPS, so your calculations might be accurate, Robbie.
You get about 1/7 of a second.
All right, so here's what you get for $500. Maybe that much.
Yeah, roughly that.
That's it. That's good enough for me. Perfect.
There you go. Once again, $500? Oh, that's great. Give me another
one. Of course.
You gave me some free there. Here's another $500.
$2,000, though. But, of course, Don, it's not to listen to. It's to put next to the statue.
Next to Dale and Mr. Peanut.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, your website is ElvisMasterTape.com. Dude, in a weird way, we're saluting you. I mean, you've actually taken what I guess you could go to Christie's and make a lot of money with, but you've done what I would do. You've chopped it up into little 2-inch pieces. And
how much did the tape cost you?
Well, let's just say we spent our entertainment budget for the year, and it was quite a bit of money.
When you say your entertainment budget, what do you mean by that?
For the company, I'm saying that it cost quite a bit of money.
I tell you what, Mike.
So you do a lot of entertaining with your company?
Yes, we do.
Mike, at the time of his death, and this will be we'll play for a free plug right now, even though we've already hit your website and said that we endorse this. The cutting of
the 2-inch pieces of tape, mm-hmm. Yes.
At the time of his death, what was the weight of Elvis's colon? At the time of his death.
How much did his colon weigh?
We have the answer.
I have no clue.
But why don't you guess? It's worth a free plug.
Then you get a free plug if you come within 3 pounds.
Well, it's certainly not his tooth. I don't know. I'm going to guess a pound.
A pound?
No, sorry, you're way off on that one.
40 pounds. It was impacted and chalky.
40 pounds.
Impacted and chalky.
That's from the Elvis autopsy that we read on the air when we were doing that same thing.
But thank you for your time.
And good luck with the venture.
And let me just say, often having guys like you on the show makes me feel a little bit better about myself and what I'm doing every day. It really does. Because, yeah, I say mean things to people and often wish I hadn't lost my temper, but God, at least I'm not fleecing people out of $14 million with some worthless friggin' tape. I mean, if they don't like my show, they can turn the radio off.
Mm-hmm.
But good luck. ElvisMasterTape.com. I'll take three. Thanks for being on the show. TCB, baby.
Bye, Mike.
Mike, you there? Mike?
Yes, I'm still with you, Don.
Okay. All right. Thanks, dude. Hold on, please.
All right. Very good.
All right, Ron.
Let's see how it went.
Go ahead.
Sounds trainable.
Mike! Hello?
Did he hang up?
Mike!
He's a slow to answer.
He's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that was strange at the end there. I don't know what was going on.
He had all those pauses. He was pausing always during that entire thing.
Wow.
He was doing calculations in his head.
There you go.
Hey, Ron, good on the math, though. Yeah. Man, is it good?
$14 million.
Is it good to be prepared with all of that stuff?
Yeah.
I said to Rob today, how much does he stand to make? I'll get back to you.
$14 million.
$14 million. All right. That's the Elvis guy.
Wow. That's serious money.
Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So they're quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared. Hello?
Yep. I'm sorry. Don't want to rephrase that.
The Don and Mike Show. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
And welcome back. Boy, that old Larry tape sounded just as tired as Larry King did on that tape. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike, everybody. I'm your host, Artinger here, the legendary Joe Artinger with you on this Wednesday evening. Just a few days left before Christmas. Don and Mike are on vacation for a couple of weeks. Well-deserved, much needed. So I'm here hosting for ye. Anyway, I played the Larry King tape last time around and didn't realize that Larry King was coming up in this segment. So I played another one. So let's just get into the best of it. It's Larry King news on the best of Don and Mike. Larry King, shout out. I'm Larry King.
Hello.
Just hates
us. Take a call. Cape, California. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi. Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right?
It's my favorite of all time radio.
The awkward.
I think that's where they originated from now.
Yeah. Las Vegas, hello.
They both hate us so much. These come from East Coast Bob.
Right.
He's got him on his website, eastcoastbob.com. He's called Larry King about a million times. We're building up to a Larry King thing. Here's the latest one, the one he did, I guess, over the weekend or Friday night. So we just got it on Monday when we came in.
Esparto, California, hello.
Larry King, my question is for Joe Allen. Joe Allen, from where you're sitting now, does it look like Larry paints his bald spot that Don and Mike show?
What? A very intelligent question, sir. I know Don and Mike, and of course, one of them fell out of the crib as a child, as I remember when they were in Washington. I think the other one pushed him. I think they know each other since childhood, but I have no idea what he's talking about.
Right?
But a very good question, sir. It shows that you're really keen on things, and I'm glad you waited an hour to ask it.
That's the angry Larry.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the best that he pushed Larry's button.
So it continues, and now here's today's tribute to Larry.
Oh, good.
And I thank a longtime friend, Mark Weiss. How you doing, Mark? I'm sorry I've not called you. It's just that's the way I am. You know, I mean, I haven't talked to the guy in 20 years, but mm-hmm. I just want to say hi to him.
Why does that name sound familiar to me?
Because
record guy?
Yes, he was, and I knew him BM.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him before Mike, and right. I knew him, of course, AM after Mike. You knew him as well. He
used
to be one of the guys that we would go out and get drunk with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the record company that he was working for would pay for it. He had sent me a while ago. Rob, what's that WPGC site?
Real Radio? No.
No, no. Anyway, come up with it.
I will.
For anybody that's a historian of Washington radio, Mark Weiss, who I guess now it says works at a marketing and communications company, he works in that industry, sent me a letter saying you should go to this website. It has a bunch of old tapes.
Isn't it AM/FM Morningside or Morningside AM/FM? If you Google Morningside, I bet it comes up.
Anyway, okay. It's a website for the old fabulous WPGC.
which in its day was, you know, I was lucky enough to work. It was a great radio station. Has a bunch of old tapes, including some old tapes of me and the other guys. So Mark Weiss sent that along. I never mentioned that on the air because it was kind of self-serving. But I just got away with mentioning it now.
Yeah.
He sends this one along. I was having a nice trip on U.S. Air until I came upon this article on page 33. You'll love this. Get a load of this. My best regards, Mark. And it is from USA Airways attaché, the free magazine you get when you
go U.S. Airways, right.
Oh, on U.S. Yeah. Airways. Here you go, and this is from December 2003, so the most recent edition of this.
Mm-hmm.
The article, the headline says, Genius at Work.
Oh, boy.
That's the very first thing you see, Genius at Work.
Oh, no.
The Art of Conversation. The King of Talk says the key to getting someone to open up is being comfortable.
Be comfortable.
Now get ready. Here we go. Lay King. Oh, you found it. Yeah. What is it? But that's totally self-serving. Don't read it. What is it, Rob?
AM and FM Morningside .com, but don't mention it.
Don't go there.
Okay. Let's see. In 46 years of broadcasting, CNN's Larry King has talked with presidents. This is BS. I mean, not that he hasn't, but, you know, it's the usual. Presidents, physicians, politicians, movie stars, blah, 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 blah. Larry King's most effective conversations with Kara, the, took place with a tall blonde outside Tiffany in Beverly Hills. I saw her. She saw me, King says. I went to the store. She went around. I walked straight through at the stairs. To what now is a little shopping center. She was up there, and I said, we can't go on meeting like this. Okay, maybe you had to be there. The fact is, the line worked. The blonde, Sean, is now his wife and the mother of his two young sons. It's like the time King opened his interview to Sinatra with a question, why are you here?
Wow.
Genius.
He's good.
Which makes us ask, how does Larry King do it?
Yeah.
Meet Larry and you get your first clue.
Uh-oh.
The King you see on the air, nervous, spontaneous, secure. It's pretty much the same King you see off the air. Right now, for instance, he's behind the desk at his corner office in the Hollywood CNN building, surrounded by city views and framed photos of friends. Do you remember one time we saw a picture of Larry King's office when he worked at CNN downtown? And he had one wall, I guess you not, and I got memorabilia, you do, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more than a tribute to himself.
Right.
It was every person going from B-list celebrity to, like you know those 12 guys that are running for president now?
Right.
Larry King would have his picture taken with all 12 guys.
And they'd all be up on the wall.
Individually, and they'd all be
up on the wall. This is my wallpaper.
So,
wallpaper of me.
let's see, meet King. He's the same guy. He's at his desk, surrounded by framed photos. He's 90 minutes away from the Larry King Live interview with Liza Minnelli. Larry King has no briefing book, no tapes. He's not in makeup, and his usual suspenders and tie hangs from a doorknob. He's
naked. He's bare-assed.
He's telling stories about Mike Tyson, U2's Bono, and Jimmy Carter. He doesn't check his watch. In fact, he says, the most relaxed moment of my day is coming up in less than an hour and a half.
Of course. Liar.
This is part of the whole... Okay, here you go. He's sitting down with Bono. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. He's sitting down with Bono. Larry King has never heard a U2 song, he claims.
There you go.
Now, I don't know how even somebody, even on the far...
All right, I want to interject here, because the book on him, and I knew a lot of people that worked over at Mutual when he did his radio show. This is the Larry spin.
Yeah, I know.
This is the big-time Larry spin, that he doesn't do any preparation.
Now,
right?
How could,
well, I don't doubt that that a reporter was in there for whatever publication this is, and sat... Well, hold on a second. And sat there and didn't see any prep work,
right.
But Larry, I have it on good authority that he does prep.
Someone does.
I would just say, though, that thing about...
Yeah, somebody does. That's a good point.
Right.
Who doesn't know some song by U2?
Right.
You couldn't sit Larry King down and play like this song. It's a beautiful day. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Mm-hmm.
He's heard it.
Sure, of course.
He's got to know it's you too.
I'm such a genius that I don't even know who I'm interviewing. Uh-huh.
So, he's wondering what he's going to ask them, because he's telling this reporter in this U.S. Airways article that he's never heard of you. He's heard of them, but he's never heard them.
I'm going to do the interview without even hearing them.
So, the opening question was, she writes later, where'd you get the name U2? So, he's got Bono, and that's the first question he asks him.
There you go.
Genius. Yeah. Genius. He hates the name U2, Larry King says after the interview. He says it was in an era when rock groups got stupid names. I got him to say that.
Wow.
Is that what he says?
Yes.
I got him to say that?
How does
let
he
me
do
see.
It?
Now I'm just going to read quotes from Larry's. A lot of what I do is inborn. I was always a good communicator. As a kid, I knew I was good. When I was 8 years old, bus drivers would talk to me. Cops would talk to me.
Wow.
And I was able to get people to respond to me.
Connect with me because I'm so pretty.
What about the rest of us? Stick to Larry King's suggestions, and you'll have a better time at your next cocktail party encounter. Or for talking to anyone under any circumstances.
Well, this is his whole rap, right? The art of conversation.
Yeah. Number one. This is the one that pisses us off the most. Be curious.
Oh, that's his whole rap.
Isn't that every interview? I'm naturally curious.
That's his spin. That's his little bio.
Where'd you get the name U2? I'm so curious. Well, that's what you do. King is right when he says, you can't teach curiosity. Either you're interested in something or you're not.
He must love this interview, too. He must love this article. King is right.
Sure.
Let me see. Now, Larry King, here's the question. I'm going to summarize this paragraph she writes. She said, Larry King is great with conversation starters because he's so fantastic.
How'd you get the name?
Off the cuff. So, she said to Larry King, you're at a dreaded industry happy hour party, surrounded by seminar goers with name tags on. Larry King meets eyes and says, how long have you been here? Have you been here all day? Was the speaker any good? Who's not going to answer that? Genius! Larry King says, if you're sincerely curious, more people want to talk than don't.
Yeah, like he walks up to anybody and says that.
Rule number two.
He's so curious about anybody at a seminar.
Number two, follow through. At one party, Larry King deployed a simple test of listening ability. A PR guy came up to me and said, hey, Larry, how you doing? I said, I've got lung cancer. He said, great. So what's on the show tonight?
God.
It's an easy thing to
blow. What Larry didn't understand is when the guy said, great, he was listening.
He meant it. It's an easy thing to blow a brilliant opening. You can look around the room, think of the next clever thing you're about to say, or you can interrupt. King does none of these. One of the best compliments ever paid to me was when Sinatra said, I feel when I'm with you, and again, someone who's dead, so really impossible to get...
to check the quote?
Frank Sinatra's take on this. But
Frank, did you really say that? F no.
Allegedly, he says, and Sinatra's mentioned a lot in this,
sure,
in this article. Sinatra said to me, I feel when I'm with you, there's no camera, no mic. You make them disappear. Because I know you're listening to what I'm saying. Could you be, now listen, hold on. I'm a Frank Sinatra fan.
Yeah.
Frank's the man. There's no way that Frank Sinatra, freaking Frank Sinatra, sits down with Larry the Toad and says to him, you know, you're the only one that gets me.
Right.
No way. No freaking way. Number two. Number three, focus. Say you're faced with a droning company chairman, a blah blah client, or a guest who's ready to put you to sleep. Look beyond the voice. Into what he's saying. What he's saying is interesting.
Don't we have several examples of Larry's focus?
Oh, I think Larry
would. It's just interesting that Larry says a guest who's putting you to sleep.
Yeah, well, we have the.
You want the long one?
Yeah, just grab. No, not the long one. God, we don't have time for that. But we did play a tape of Larry King falling asleep.
Larry fell asleep. Used to on his radio show fall asleep constantly. That's how good his focus was.
Then number four is avoid the yes and no. You'll never get conversation for yes and no answers. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy flying? Instead, ask,
What happened the last time you went flying?
Brilliant!
Why did you go flying?
How does he do it?
That's amazing. He's a genius, though.
I can do why forever, Larry says.
Why?
Except Robert Mitchum. When I asked him why, he said, because.
Here's another one. Don't fake it. Frank Sinatra first showed up on Larry King's live radio show for no other reason than as a personal favor to Jackie Gleason.
That was the scariest moment of my career, says Larry. But what I did was ask him the most honest question. Why are you here? I never fooled my audience, saying, my friend Frank Sinatra, or acting pompous. Tonight my guest is Frank Sinatra. As if, of course, he's just another guest.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's not Larry King at all.
No, not at all.
I mean, even back in the day, his whole thing was, and tonight we will be joined by the chairman of the board, the greatest singer in the history.
Yeah, suck up.
let me see. Go with your gut. When Raquel Welch showed up on Larry King's set in a stint over fruit juice, Larry walked over and gave her a hug.
Is that a snit?
That's going with your gut.
Yeah. What happened with that when Raquel Welch showed up?
Raquel Welch showed up on the set for the Larry King show, and she was in a snit because somebody gave her the wrong fruit juice. Larry King said, what do? He went over and gave her a hug.
Because he's so sexy.
Oh, there you go.
He doesn't tell the truth, which is in Larry's mind, that he gave her a hug because, I was looking at those great cans.
Here's another one he quotes, going with his gut. He's got Mike Tyson on his show. Mike Tyson's manager said that Mike Tyson was in a bad mood. Larry King, according to Larry King, and I can't even imagine him doing this, so I'll say it, you do it, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He did a deputy dog impression and said to Mike Tyson, aw, is Mikey angry today? What's bothering Mikey?
Larry did that?
Larry did that as deputy dog to Mike Tyson.
I'm going to kill you. Slap that smile right off your face.
And then he says, my first thought was, thank God he's laughing with Mike Tyson. The point, though, of Larry's point, it was all instinct.
Yeah.
In other circumstances, instinct can tell you whether to walk or shut up, whether to use an off-color word, whether to call Jimmy Carter Jimmy when you're fishing with him, or Mr. President, when you're both wearing suits.
I got it. He's brilliant.
What a squeeze.
He loves to talk about himself.
And finally, when all else fails, move on, which is not to say that Larry works out the kinks with everybody. Robert Mitchum, for instance, remains stony and monosyllabic during his...
So funny he goes back to Robert Mitchum
hour-long interview. Author Kitty Kelly got Larry King foaming on air over Sinatra's biography.
Mm.
Larry King does not dwell on regrets.
Right.
You've done your part. All you can do is what you can do. My advice? Be curious.
Ah!
God.
What?
Genius. Larry the genius.
Larry King!
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chance. Okay.
Here he is.
Come on, Doc. Don't be scared.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. Ah, we love the chancy man. The chancy man. We love it.
There he is.
Okay. Anyway, we just love busting Larry King's balls.
See you at the high school graduation.
All right.
That's going to be held at a cemetery. Are you talking about his kid?
Yeah.
When his kid graduates high school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're going to go out to visit Daddy's grave.
Which side of the dirt will he be on?
Larry's going to be curious what the inside of the box looks like.
Yeah.
And don't you pray when he finally gets up to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
First guy waiting for him is Sandy Koufax. Who goes, hey, dude, we never knew each other. And then behind him is Frank. Sinatra said, hey, listen. I never said this crap about when I'm with you, there's no camera or microphone. Come here.
fat.
They'll hurt him.
Guys like you come out in my...
Thanks, Frank.
And we played those tapes going into the break.
Yeah, huh? You heard the ones where Larry was actually sound asleep.
He's falling asleep.
I mean, and there's a guy, a friend of his that I know over at Mutual that sent those tapes along to us. Yeah. And it was not the only time that Larry would do it.
No.
You know, listeners talking on his show, it's late at night. And he's like, and his comeback would always be, can you rephrase that?
That's genius.
Yeah.
And what's great is all these years later, he's just like us.
Right.
He still holds a grudge. Listen to that tape of the call East Coast Bob hit on Monday.
Yeah.
You got that one? Listen to this now.
A little bitter.
He doesn't just blow it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could just say, I don't know what you're talking about, and move on.
Right.
No, he's got to mention us by name.
Esparto, California. Hello.
It's great.
Larry King, my question is for Joe Allen. Joe Allen, from where you're sitting now, does it look like Larry paints his bald spot the Don and Mike show?
The Don and Mike show.
What?
A very intelligent question, sir. I know Don and Mike, and of course, one of them fell out of the crib as a child, as I remember when they were in Washington. I think the other one pushed him. I think they know each other since childhood, but I have no idea what he's talking about. But a very good question.
Nice that he gives us the credit of knowing each other since childhood.
Yeah, in the crib.
In the crib.
For someone who, in the article, one of his main points is let go and move forward.
Yeah.
Twice bringing up Robert Mitchum.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
because he obviously is his worst interview.
Every day.
You know, I mean, we don't encourage because the people just do this on their own. But I would imagine the paint your bald spot calls that he's gotten over the years annoy him. But how about that Robert Mitchum interview?
That might be the question to ask him.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Larry, I can't help but remember, I love all your interviews, but... Dude, you couldn't get Robert Mitchum to open up.
What's the problem? Can't you interview? I heard your Robert Mitchum interview.
Robert Mitchum was dropped on his head when he was a baby. And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, my friends. This is Julio Iglesias wishing all of you happy holidays and a great, great
The Don and Mike Show. Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike, everybody. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, legendary Joe Ardinger, with you on this beautiful Wednesday night. Hey, I forgot to mention that if you want to keep up on the Don and Mike show, you need to go to donandmikewebsite.com. You can keep up on all the things happening with the show, and you can go to the store and buy stuff. You can click on links like a link to my website, joeardinger.com, and oh, you could go to robspiewak.com too, maybe. Anyway, let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. Hey, I've got a question for you. What did Alan do? Let's find out together on the best of Don and Mike.
We're going to start with something that happened to me just moments ago, and it's a chance for you, Mike.
Yes.
And you, Buzz.
Yes.
Oh, I love games.
To win a valuable prize.
Oh, goody.
Yay.
The valuable prize has not yet been determined.
It's a prize to be played later.
Yes, but let me just say it will be a gift of some kind.
Good.
Are you ready to play the game? What did Alan do? Let me give you the setup.
All right, very good.
Today, and I'll give you more specifics, but I'll give you the very broad overview.
What did Alan do?
I had to have lunch today with our general manager, Alan Linewand, at a popular Washington area restaurant. Little did Alan know, nor did I know, until I walked into the restaurant and saw the booth that was available and reserved for us for our luncheon.
Yes.
Sitting in the booth directly behind me, back to back, the diminutive, evil, greedy owner of the Washington Redskins, Dan Snyder. Now, this is just dumb luck. As I'm sitting, because it's a packed restaurant, I don't know he's going to be there. He obviously don't know I'm going to be there. Alan's made the reservation at the restaurant. Alan's not there. When I walk in the restaurant, as soon as I get there, the employees are saying to me, oh, hey, you know who's here? You know who's here? So now here is the question. What does Alan do? And I'll tell you this.
Are you going to give us choices? Or do you want me to
just
guess? Because I can guess.
I'm going to give you choices. And I'm going to tell you, to heighten the excitement, that I tipped Alan off. I did call Alan on his cell phone.
That's important.
He was late. Lunch scheduled for noon. I'm sitting next to my arch rival, Dan Snyder. I mean, back to back. I call Alan and I say, hey, Al, first, you're late. And second, you should know this. Snyder is sitting at the booth directly next to ours. My back is to his back. I'm overhearing. I'm eavesdropping on his entire conversation. I say, if you want to change tables, I'm okay with that. But I just want to tell you, Snyder's here. So here now, let's play What Will Alan Do? Here are your options.
Okay, good. I mean, incidentally, just to be ahead of the game here, I have just, out of pure fun, I've written down the complete answer of what I thought he did. Just, and I will put it over here just
put it
in
over
case.
There.
Just
as,
in case
as
have
right.
I. Yes.
You have three choices.
All right.
Will Alan say to me, Don, yes, that's an awkward situation. Why don't you ask the maitre d' if he can get us another table, or meet me up front and we'll get another table.
Right.
Thanks, pal. You really helped me out of a bunk.
Okay. Okay, that's one possibility, very real.
Or, as Alan enters the restaurant and goes past the tables, and now keeping in mind, as he's entering the restaurant, he'll see Snyder before he sees me.
Okay.
Snyder's booth is ahead of my booth.
All right.
Will he... Either, here's one scenario.
So he said, will he tell you to move tables?
Will Alan tell us to move tables? Or will he walk into the restaurant, approach Dan Snyder's table, and then say, I'd like you to meet my star player. I'm sure you've heard about him, but you know he just does a radio show, and he's quite a fan of yours.
Right.
Don, you remember Dan Snyder, okay?
Right.
Or...
Number three...
And don't let the music give you any false impressions here. We're just trying to get
really
as much
to the excitement.
As much of this different music as we can.
Sounds good. That music sounds fantastic. Hold on, a little lunch on the CD.
What are you doing?
Can I move it?
Get horseradish sauce on the CD player?
I don't know. Ask the boy.
Right.
Cue it up.
He's going to reload it. Because this is the dramatic moment.
Yeah, it is.
And we have three choices.
So your three choices are...
I believe the correct answer coming up.
Your three choices are...
Uh-huh.
Keep in mind, I'm having lunch with Alan at a public restaurant. Snyder of the Redskins is there. I've said on the air that the guy's a pest.
There's drama here.
Called him a jerk. Said all of that stuff about him.
Here, I'm handing you my answer.
Okay, thank you. So,
you can read it for question number three.
Does Alan Lyfon say to me, let's get another table, I appreciate your friendship?
Okay.
Does he make small talk with Snyder and then say, here's my star player? Or does he walk past the booth, make small talk with Snyder, and then sit down with me and never mention anything about it?
Okay.
Those are your choices.
Don?
Yes, Mike?
I would now like you, just out of curiosity, the fact that I know you and I know our illustrious leader, would you please look at my answer?
Wait, hold on. Why do you have something in parentheses?
Says that you had a second question there as far as the tables.
Okay.
Says don't change. He says don't change tables. That's what he says, and he greets Snyder and doesn't introduce you.
That is one guess. Buzz.
Before you had listed all the choices, I wrote Alan said hi, kissed Snyder's ring, and did not introduce you.
I will be shocked if anything else is true.
Now.
I hope we're not disappointed.
I will tell you that I was operating with a handicap on my side.
Uh-huh.
That because I was at the last booth at this restaurant, there was a wall in front of me that had glass, which acted as a mirror.
Right.
So I could not only see the back of Snyder's head, I could see people as they walk in the restaurant and as they would approach.
Okay.
What did Alan do?
What did he do, Don?
I'll tell you, one of the things that he didn't do, he did not say, let's change tables.
I was right about that one. Mm-hmm.
He did not say change tables. In fact, he said, that's great. I'm in the restaurant already. I'll see you in a moment. Tensely, I sat at the table. I'd like to call as my witness, Bobo Robert Spiewak.
Very good.
I called my wife. She didn't want to stay on the phone with me. So I called my best friend, Rob. I said, Rob.
There was such excited hushed tones.
Speaking of hushed tones, I said,
you're not going to believe this. I'm sitting here at the table. Snyder's right behind me. Alan's coming in. Now, you got to stay on the phone with me. So we play the game and you're my witness. What will he do? Will he introduce me to Snyder or not? He is coming in. He is coming in.
Rob was on the telephone. And I will tell you now that Alan line one, being the man of intestinal fortitude that he is, being...
What did he do, Doc?
What did Alan do?
He entered the restaurant.
Yes.
He saw Daniel Snyder of the Redskins, the owner.
Yes.
He stopped. He conversed. He shook hands. He actually, for one brief moment, stayed so long as to put his arm on the side of the bench coming up from the booth to indicate he was going to have a jolly old chat.
Sure.
How long did he stay at the Snyder table? I have the answer because the answer is on my cell phone.
Right?
3 minutes and 19 agonizing seconds for me.
Three excruciating minutes of tension as I'm sure you were waiting to be mentioned.
You left out one small detail that I think is telling.
What's that?
He pretended to be pleasantly surprised to see him.
True.
And as he was leaning,
good detail.
Yeah.
As he was leaning on the booster chair, I'm saying to myself, what will Alan do? Yeah. And at that point, he said,
as the owner was eating his applesauce,
I quote, he said, "Well, it was really great seeing you."
Mm-hmm.
And blah 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 blah. He then sat down and said, "So, how are you, pal?"
There it is.
Yeah.
Could it have possibly been anything different?
A fun game, though.
Before, I'd like to point out, I wrote down my answer before you gave any of the options.
I will tell you that I did, as a matter of fact, tell the spineless, gutless Alan Line One as he sat down, and I said to Rob, who was on the phone, I said, "Well, game's over.
Yeah,
I'll see you at work. Bye." I hang up the phone.
He said, didn't get to where he is in this company with making those introductions.
That's right.
He said, "Who is that on the phone?" I said, "Somebody from the show." I said, "Congratulations, you've already made the first segment today." He said, "What?" I said, "You didn't introduce me to Snyder."
Uh-huh.
He said, "Oh, I'm going to do that in just a moment."
No, bother.
Too late. I said, "Plus, I already met the little guy. I already met Napoleon once, that one time at the stadium when his mafioso guys came in and gave me the old, Snyder's here, they were clearing the room and all that other stuff."
And he came in here one time.
Been in the studio.
Yeah, and he's been on our show, so it's not like it's a big deal.
We still have the phone books.
It's not like it's a big deal, but it would have been an extremely awkward moment, and I think it would have proved to the world once and for all if Alan Linewand has a set. And I found out today he's like Olivia Soprano.
Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. Nothing down there at all.
And incidentally, as she was being discussed the other day on this show, in the evolution that God has made her nether regions go through.
Nothing down there, totally eroded.
So
eroded away to nothing.
Alan, from all of us on the Don and Mike show.
And incidentally, we should point out, Buzz and I both guessed the answer to that
right before all the choices were given.
Nothing could be more obvious. Yes.
And congratulations. You have both won the small to medium soft drink of your choice.
Fantastic.
Yay.
At O'Mara's.
Yeah. I am.
But anyway, that's...
That's some funny stuff.
Yeah, so, it is.
You know, it is,
and it's just, it's amusing and annoying all at the same time, isn't it?
He sits down, it's like I'm insulted.
Of course.
It's like, of course, he's, you know, I'm good enough to go to this fancy restaurant to have this meeting with him.
As long as no one sees.
But I know that, you know, I'm one of the guys that says this stuff. But
well,
still,
yeah, you're like the relative that he doesn't want to introduce.
Right. Here's what you do. Here's the move. Incidentally, Alan, next time that we play, will Alan make, what will Alan do, the damn Snyder jumps? Next time what you do is you go over and you glad hand, you say, hey, I got a guy here that, whoa, boy, is he scared assless over here. Hey, Don, you remember Dan? That's how you handle it.
Yeah, well, I think he's proven.
That's how you handle it.
He's proven time and time again that, you know, he's behind us.
And then he said to me, well, do you want me to go over there now? I said, no, listen, you don't get it.
And incidentally, that's also what relatives do.
The proper time, you got to have dinner with anybody. I don't care if it's...
Oh, I didn't know. Did you want to be introduced?
Yes.
No,
pride.
No, listen, he's only a guy that we've mocked on this show for the last 5 years.
There are general managers and program directors who would cherish the awkwardness of the situation.
Oh, you can't unring a bell.
Right.
I mean, come on, baby. You hear what I'm saying? You can't unring a bell.
You know, real stones would be, hey, want to meet your biggest fan?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
anything like that.
Right.
I'm not in the position, incidentally, to lean over and go, because I'm sitting there with my boss, to lean over and go, hey, Snyder, what's happening?
No, you can't.
No, and
it's impossible for you to do that, because then that's just being ridiculous. That's being almost borderline insane.
But you should know that I was ready for it, though. And Bob will tell you, I was on the phone and I said, listen, Alan might, you know, if I'm close enough here, he might, even in his own weaselly way, he might not be able to avoid me.
I'd love it, because the real way should be, hey, I think you two guys might know each other. Don Geronimo, Dan Snyder, Don Geronimo. And then there's that beautiful awkward moment.
But I'll have a chuckle.
And you've got something to talk about.
Well, let me give him a call.
Well, you know what? You did have something to talk about anyway.
Oh, I sure did.
Even with the way that went down.
Hello?
Alan.
Very funny.
Yeah, but so you, Alan.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I mean, you know, really, it is. I think that's why Buzz and I both wrote down the answer before the question.
Hey, you had me playing along, too.
Now, come on, really. And I even gave you the heads up to tell you that the dude was sitting at the table.
But you gave me the heads up as I was walking past the tables.
Well, excuse me that you're 10 minutes late for the appointment that you set up.
It was 7 minutes, but yes, I was a few minutes late.
You're late. I'm seated at the table, and I'm at least enough of a guy that I call you to say, hey, this guy's at the table.
Well, see, what he would need would be a little lead time on maybe how to handle it, but no, that didn't. Alan, the thought process. At any
thought
time.
Process?
No, there was really no thought process whatsoever.
You what?
I hung up the phone. I was walking into the... I was standing in the lobby of the restaurant, and Don calls. And I literally started walking back. He says, I'm back here. I said, great. He says, whoa, before you come back. And that's when he told me.
Yeah, right. Snyder's at the table right next
to
him. Which was sort of interesting. I found that to be amusing.
Yeah.
Now, it was.
I'm just writing
and
down.
And incidentally, it was at that point that I knew.
Restaurant.
Yeah, right. You got the restaurant. It was only at that point that I already knew the outcome of what would Alan do.
Right.
I already knew the outcome. I knew that I would be the afterthought. And Alan, how is it that I... Why is it that you're so not proud of me? Am I not a good earner for you?
Sure, you're a great earner.
Really?
You're a great earner.
Then why wouldn't you want to show me off? Why is it that you would want me to sit back-to-back with a man who is nearly as powerful as I am, nearly as good-looking as I am?
I have another question for Alan that I'm curious about.
He's only got me in the money department.
Alan?
Yes?
Did you get any vibe from Snyder that he knew Dom was sitting in back of him?
No.
Okay. All right.
And you didn't help that at all?
Not for one minute.
You didn't feel any bit of pride at all to say, hey, Slugger, guess what?
You know what? I didn't even think of it.
I got my own... How could you not think of it? I'm sitting there, and he's sitting there.
I looked over once, and quite frankly, I saw you on the phone. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, when I was on the phone with Rob playing the game, that doesn't count.
But I didn't know you were.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count because you knew, because I already called you and told you that the guy was sitting
there. Yeah, I know.
And you say it was timing. But you had time enough to make a call. Alan?
Well, listen.
Alan?
Yes.
I had time enough to make a call.
You get that?
Yeah.
It's all about timing, but I had time enough to make the call. And you had time enough. You were walking in. You had time. You could have made the decision.
How wonderful it would have been if this segment had started and Buzz and I were both wrong about it.
No, it wouldn't have been as entertaining.
Oh, no. I guarantee it would have been as entertaining. And I'll tell you why. Because it would have put me on the grade A hot seat.
It would have put you on the hot seat, but you would have risen to the occasion because I know how you would have greeted him. It's the way we both said that we would greet him if we ever saw him in a restaurant. We would say, well, how are you doing? And what are we having for lunch today?
Down on my knees, I go, the train and the bus go round and round, round, or whatever that song is you sing to Bart.
Are you having the, and what are we having for lunch today? Are we having the grilled cheese? The carrot sticks?
No, come on, Alan. I would have said, after all that stuff about PB&J, I would have said, listen, Dan Snyder, Don Geronimo, damn glad to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what I had going.
And, of course, the nice thing about that particular restaurant is that he can wear his lobster bib no matter what he's eating.
Anyway, you know, you could have done it, Alan, but now, unfortunately, I'm afraid that you owe both Buzz and Mike, that's right, the vacation of their choice.
Yay!
I thought it was a soft drink.
No, the soft drink, right, I forgot that.
Yeah, okay.
Soft drink.
I am a visionary.
Soft drink at O'Mara's.
Gotcha. I'll have them down for you guys in a few minutes.
Have what down?
The soft drink.
Okay, no, never mind.
Thanks, Alan.
Never mind.
On me.
Never mind.
Oh, wow.
You really inspire people. I just want to say, as we talked about today, it starts at the top.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
where the fun begins.
It starts at the top. And you want to talk about feeling good about yourself, let's say that you're me. Sure, now I could have leaned over and said to the guy, hey, Dan Snyder, it's me, Don Geronimo. But I've already done that twice.
You could have leaned over and gone, what are you having for lunch, Mr. Little Man?
I could have done that. Sure, I could have done that. I've already done it twice. But it would have been funny and more awkward if my boss, the guy who pays me, was to say, oh, listen, hey, Snyder, here's the guy right here. You want a piece of him? Something like that.
Yeah, you'd be kind of out of that one, Alan. You know, it wouldn't be your fight.
But no.
Yeah.
Duly noted.
And don't even ask me about our fascinating discussions about the FCC today.
Oh, God.
I thought we had a nice lunch after that.
I'm more twisted on the entire topic than I ever was before.
Of course you are. You had lunch with Alan.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Thanks for playing What Will Alan Do? And now I have one final one for Buzz and Mike.
All right. Very good.
Hold on a moment, please, Alan.
All right.
Let me see. I'll take all of this so he can't hear us. Okay. What will Alan do? If I say goodbye, will he hang up or stay on the line?
Mike.
He'll hang up.
He wants
to get off.
Buzz.
He'll hang up. He wants to.
Alan?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Wow. Do we know this guy or what?
You do. You are visionaries.
I am a visionary.
You are.
Oh, God.
That's how we play the game.
Oh, I can relate to that. Man, I bet you were ready to just throw him through a window.
Because I was ready for it. I was ready for it. And all he had to do was I gave him the biggest softball in the world.
I throw this out because it's the guy we used to work with. Goodman would have done it.
Yeah.
Goodman would have done it in a minute.
Here's what you do. You throw me to the wolves. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, Dan, I got a guy here. I know you probably want to take a piece out of this guy. Hey, Don, why don't you come over here and meet the guy who you say all the stuff about?
Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Goodman would have done it. The previous guy here wouldn't have done it either.
Here's the thing. Under those circumstances, I would have stood there and taken my lumps and duked it out with him and told him what for. But I'm not going to be the one to lean over. When my boss has already greeted him, I'm not going to lean over the partition and go,
By the way, like
a guy over the top of a men's room wall, go, excuse me, hey, Dan, hey, I'm the disc jockey that talks about you on the radio. Remember the guy you called and you wanted to have me fired that time?
Sure.
I'm here with my boss, but he didn't have the stones to say I'm sitting at the table with him. And now we're going to be playing a game on the air today.
It was a fun game, though. I love that game.
I hope
what
we play it again.
What did Alan do?
We all knew what to do.
What did?
And we hate Buzz. We're 2-for-2 on that.
That's pretty good, yeah. And the pride thing. The pride thing. You don't buy a Fleetwood and hide it in the garage.
No way.
You know, you bring it out. You're proud of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. No matter. You bring your hot rod out.
That's
and
right.
You bring that prized Harley, Buzz. You
that's
bring
right.
that out of the garage. Even though the noise on that Harley might annoy your next door neighbor.
That's right.
You still say, hey, is that a fine machine? Is that a fine product right there? That's
right.
What you do.
That's what you do.
So that's how you play.
Jesus.
That's how you play the Allen game.
Come on.
Last night, I do want to give you a plug. Mike's Bacteria at Cafeteria, O'Mara's, is open.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll take Look Around Cafe. Ixnay on the Acteria Icteria.
Gotcha. And here's your chance for a plug. The location is?
8971 Center Street. I hope that is correct.
Is it?
8971 Center Street. My mother asked me that last night, and I didn't know. And I got the lecture. She said, what do you mean you don't know?
Well, she's right. I mean, your mom's right.
Oh, no. It's not, yeah. I drive to it. I know the ad. I know
sure.
how to get there.
Sure,
it is.
I've heard this book before. This is a book called Mary's Always Right.
Mary is always right. She, God bless Mary.
Your yes. mom is always right.
God bless
and
Mary. We are having one of those father, mother, son moments, even though my father's not around, and it was very touching and very pretty, very put upon.
Up in the office today, before the show.
All I was thinking driving in today was, because of the similarities for those people that have watched the Larry Sanders Show.
No, listen.
The similarities are such.
That you're so Hank.
That I'm. If I'm not careful, if I really relaxed and came in here and wasn't controlling. What I said to Don, which I normally don't worry about doing, but in this particular circumstance I do. Because if I came in today and I had the conversation that I really wanted to have with him, it would have been right out of the Larry Sanders Show. It would have been exactly the same thing. With the part where, Hank's all feeling put upon because he's got all these last minute things that he's dealing with and he's exhausted and he's doing that. I even said like a little something about it, and Don just starts cracking up because
he's
tired.
Yeah, I've been burning the bulb at both ends. That's all.
Oh, man, I know what you mean. I'm doing the Fox movie right now.
Just try opening a restaurant sometime.
This is happening upstairs. I'm waiting to tell him about the meeting that I've just had, and what I wanted to say to Mike, and I didn't say it to him. I said to him afterwards. What I wanted to say to him about 5 minutes into the talk about the tables and the beer and the people and the food and what are your feelings about this job? What are your feelings about
the
this
job?
Job's
finance this whole endeavor you have,
It's great because right now you're Hank. You're up in the office before the show and you're really thinking about tables and chairs and fire marshals.
This was a day where I was somewhat delighted to be coming in here and just really the hobby fun thing that's on the other side.
Right. This not a gag, and I know that you don't believe horoscopes, and generally I don't.
Okay.
Today's horoscope: Geraldine Sanders in the Washington Post.
Yes,
you're cancer. You are cancer.
Yes.
You are a cancer. You're not cancer.
What? What is it? Is it bad?
This is not doctored.
Okay.
I've underlined. I'll read everything except the last line.
Okay. All right.
And I'll let you read the last line.
Very good.
Sensitive people like you may attract those who want sympathy, but do not give it back in return.
Okay.
That's nothing to do with the restaurant.
All right.
Then it goes on. Physical exertion will dispel feelings of unease and clear your head.
Okay.
And then please read the last line.
All right.
Which is really in there. I swear to God.
I back you up. It is true. Avoid liquor today.
Oh. That's nice.
St. Patrick's Day.
How great is that?
I'll tell you, 10 p.m. tonight, that's not going to happen.
How great is that?
Oh,
I'm just looking
God.
In the newspaper at my horoscope, and I'd go, well, what's Mike? This is a big day for Mike. Avoid liquor today. Hey,
well, nobody else is. What the hell?
Geraldine Saunders, I got news for you. I mean, that ain't happening.
I have felt rather Hank-like all day long today.
That ain't flying.
I have felt like Hank, and I feel the incredible pressure of my cohorts coming out to enjoy themselves.
I am a visionary.
Now listen.
And I have instructed every member of the staff to do some extra double special
stuff.
AKing tonight.
What's AKing?
AKing. Well, the second word is kiss.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, Askus.
Yes.
Oh, no, come on.
AKing, of course.
This place is great. This food is delicious.
How's that? That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Then if you get it on time, it doesn't matter.
All right.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
We'll see you tonight.
It's already crowded, and it's already, because it's St. Patrick's Day, right. And it's an Irish place, and I'm very excited, and thank you for...
Look Around Cafe.
Thank you for all your support. I've already gotten so much,
You're always going to have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
I couldn't be happier. I'm going to be very excited for you to finally see the clock.
Me too. All right.
It's been up there since you gave it to me.
So. Well, much appreciated.
Of course, it'll probably be behind the speaker, though. I'm sorry
about
that.
That's all right, Mike. Don't worry.
So that's it.
It's your night.
It's the night.
It's the opening night.
It's the big night.
Tonight.
I'm very excited. And seriously, it was fun talking to my mom, and she said some nice things, including... Why don't you know the street address?
So. She's right, Mike. She's right.
Absolutely
Why don't you know the street
right,
address?
Yeah.
Hold on. We'll be right
this
back.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I hate reality shows.
A year ago, you said they were the greatest thing that ever happened to us.
I've grown. You haven't.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
That's right, and it is the best of the robot. Sorry about that, everybody on down the line on the network, but the robot apparently is not going to cooperate with me tonight. Anyway, let's get into the best of Don and Mike once again. Bart calls the show on the best of Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hey, there he is.
Is this your son?
Yeah, sure it is.
Hey.
What's up, Bartio?
Yeah.
Bart is here for a spring break.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get you on the radio, show you off for a second. You know how much I love you, how proud I am of you, and I wanted to let you know that I don't know if you and your gal pal are listening to the show right now, but there's going to be something coming on the show that might remind you back when you were a little kid.
You're feeling a little nostalgic, aren't you, about this
segment?
Sure.
Yeah, that I used to love asking Bart stuff when he was little,
right.
And then even when he got... to be older until he got to that age.
Sure, I remember, the most famous part of this show for years was Bart the Weatherman. I love Bart the Weatherman.
And when he cried about the marshmallow races?
Oh, my God. Was that when he had the real meltdown?
No, that was the real meltdown.
That was when he was real little.
Yeah. Was that one time he wanted to speak to me on the phone.
Right.
And he started screaming like a maniac. Anyway, Barty, listen, now we have Julia is going to be on the show, so you guys should turn the radio on. So you can hear what it was like when you were a kid. When you were being exploited by your parents. Now, there are other parents that are exploiting their children on the show because, unfortunately, Mom was the only child that you could give me who I could exploit on our show.
So sorry.
Okay.
So sorry.
You played your role beautifully for many years.
You were a wonderful stage kid.
You were. So what's happening?
Driving. Nothing really.
Just driving. Hey, who's the greatest dad? Who got you your hip-hop tickets?
Kathy Lee Geronimo.
Yes, I did. And I don't even know what it was that I got. I don't even know what it was that I got him tickets for. It was something, though, that...
What are you going to see? Well, that'll hip us up a little bit.
Well, no, hold on. This is... I should remember this. Bart played me a tape of this guy, a CD of this guy. It sounds like it's rap. Is it Kwame?
Kanye.
What's his name?
Kanye.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's good. He's good. I like it. He uses some of that language that other parents might not care for.
You're going to the Kanye show?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Anyway, that's that. So that's what he's doing, and that's my son. He used to be precocious and cute, like you're going to hear here in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's almost 19.
Right. He's a man now.
He's a grown man. Mm-hmm. He's driving a car. Is there a girl in your car?
Yes, sir.
Driving the car, got a girl in the car. Yeah. What could be sweeter than talking to Dad on the radio?
Are you having a pleasant afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
All right, bud. I'll see you later. I love you.
Love you, too.
Hey, but tune on. Listen to this Julia stuff. This is funny.
All right. You're breaking up. Like, the show's breaking up. I'm kind of far now, so I'll try.
All right. Well, try 105.7.
All right.
105.7.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It seems seriously like it was an hour ago that he was a little bitty on the show.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like, makes me sound like an old guy, but, I am an old guy.
Is this the Julia stuff?
Yes, it is. It's
all right, so now, in the great tradition.
Now, do we play along or can we just listen and enjoy it?
Oh, no, we're just getting right now. All I want you guys to do is get a pencil and a paper.
Okay.
And just wait until we get to the finals
mm-hmm.
when a 3-year-old will pick this out. What we're going to do is actually fill this out and play these teams,
right.
We're going to wager some money on Julius picking.
Oh, we're going to wager?
Well, no, Mike, I understand that you have...
Thanks. Look around cafe.
Right? We're going to wager.
Okay.
Some of us are going to throw some money together.
Okay.
Just some walking
around. Well, I'll join in.
Well, I know you're throwing... You got all
I
your,
have all my...
You got all your chips.
Table, the table. The table.
I think I can spare a dollar. A dollar or two.
Okay. Anyway, here you go. Here's Rob with
the ice machine broke.
Rob with Rob with Julius. What was that?
Nothing. Go ahead. Let's.
Did you say the ice machine broke?
Yeah, but it's fine. We're all set.
Good. Hanks, look around cafe.
When did this happen?
This morning. On St. Patrick's Day.
Bad day. How'd you handle that?
Went out and bought ice.
You know, you got enough?
Plenty.
You know, Elvis shot his ice machine once. It wasn't anything like that.
I'm going to do
it?
More than shoot this one.
So it was this one that would just keep making ice all day long as ice would be used?
Most places like that you have a machine that just constantly turns it
out. Would you have to go to 7-Eleven or something?
Yeah.
And fill up your car with bags of ice?
I had to go to the ice store.
Is it built by Scotsman? the ice maker?
Yeah, I want to hear your daughter now.
Okay.
I do.
No, you're the one. Listen, you told us that the ice machine is broken.
You know, that'd be the only glitch in an otherwise perfect day.
But you have ice and everything's fine.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. I am a visionary.
You know, you are. Really, when you guys get your drinks tonight, don't sweat it. You know, might be a little tepid.
Yeah. We're not sweating it.
In fact, I recommend the Irish coffee. Hot Irish coffee.
All right, then.
No, it's. I'm kidding, of course. No, the ice is fine. It's the truth.
So you're saying tonight?
Truth.
Tonight, when I get to Mike's Look Around Cafe,
right?
If I ordered a Diet Coke, I might get it served European style.
No, you'll
which
have
is where they
ice.
Just they just pour it into the cup because you want ice. You go over to Europe, they go, "You are an ugly American.
Yes.
Who puts ice in their soft drink?"
There was a guy fixing the ice machine when I left.
Ah, well, there you go.
I think.
See now.
Yeah, I think. You I think. Yeah, I think.
You think. You
not my problem.
You have assume.
Faith. Really not my problem.
Well, hold on.
Not really.
Whose name is it on it? Okay.
Thanks. Look around cafe.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Most people drink beer anyway. That's right.
Yeah. So will there be...
Of course, there's ice.
How much ice did you get?
Tons.
How
many? Truckloads.
How many truckloads?
I mean, a pickup truck full of it. Seriously. Stacked with it.
Stacked with it.
Huge amounts.
How are you keeping it
cool? Copious amounts of ice.
How are you keeping it cool?
It was mostly water when I left.
How are you keeping the ice cold?
We put it in the machine where it normally is made, and that keeps it cold. That part's not broken.
Ah.
Oh, I see.
Just doesn't make ice. It keeps ice.
Yeah. And it's a little it's chilly outside today, so you can keep some bags outside, too. Right.
Is this really how you're running this place? Yeah. Is this really, you're not just making this up?
No, this is the truth. This is the
These
truth.
Things happen.
Hey, everybody that's ever done this will tell you that stuff like this happens all the time.
Gotcha.
You deal with it. It's happened before, and it's fine. We're going to get a new one.
A new ice machine?
You betcha.
You bet! When are you getting that new ice machine?
Sometime 2 years, 3 years down the road.
So what are you going to do now, though? I mean, when you get past today, the rush of... and you will have a crowd with us talking about it here and the fact that it's St. Patrick's Day.
We already do. I've checked in. We are already slammed.
Cool. What happens tomorrow, though, when somebody comes in, it's the day after, and then they say,
on warm drinks.
I'd like a tall glass of lemonade. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a special. All the warm Pepsi and Coke you can
drink. You should probably buy a new ice machine.
I thought about that. I was giving that some thought this morning.
Because I think the longer we continue the Earth's rotation of the sun,
right.
If I am not mistaken, very soon...
We're heading into the warm weather months.
Yes, it's going to be getting warmer, and people more than ever would want ice in their beverages.
It's occurred to me that as the warmer months gather, that people do care for a frosty beverage.
Refreshing.
And usually with many, many cubes of ice in that. Even if
I am a visionary.
Even if it's cold coming out of the little gun that we have, you know, and we have a couple of those.
Yeah.
They like it over those pesky cubes. Those cubes of frozen water.
Yeah.
So you're going to handle that, though.
So
I know when I go to O'Mara's that I'm going to get ice.
Oh, I'm reasonably sure you'll get, I don't think it's like we're going to have to go to Trey's, put that in the freezer.
I was thinking like a tray that brings
that
food in.
Just on pure volume, that wouldn't work.
No.
I don't think it's even been discussed.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It's a big machine.
Big machine,
supposed to just churn out lots of ice.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
She was churning out nothing this morning.
You are. You're leaving the show early today, so you can get
a
down
little
there.
Early.
Yeah, and that's fine with me. I'm not busting your balls.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go now?
No, because really, when I'm there walking around, this is the truth.
Yeah.
When I am there walking around, most often,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
There are people there that do, and I'm talking from everybody from the lady that cleans all the way through the guy that puts out the schedules and buys the food and stuff. I'm walking around, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you going to know these people's names?
I'm reasonably certain that tens of thousands of dollars are being stolen from me almost on a daily basis.
Are you going to eventually know these people that you're talking about? Now, you've owned this place since November.
Yes.
Are you going to know their names? Because you made a promise in the local daily
news. Are you talking about customers or employees?
Well, you made a promise to know
I know all the employees' names. First names.
Okay.
I don't know all the last names.
That's all right.
You were saying that there was a guy who does this and a guy who does it. You know these names?
Yeah. You could quiz me on all the names. I would know all. I would know the names of every single server, every single manager, every single person in the kitchen, I think. No. No, there's one guy I don't know.
Yeah.
Ah,
there's one.
See that?
I think the guy that washes the dishes.
You know that is right there. That is the chink in your armor.
Yeah,
right there.
One wink.
My yellow brothers. Chinks in the house.
One wink.
Chink in your armor.
And I don't know the name of the guy that comes in occasionally, three times a month and fixes the ice machine.
But you will.
You darn right I will.
Just remember, everybody.
No, I feel foolish sometimes. When I'm standing in the kitchen and I don't know what's going on, I feel foolish.
Just remember, all the chips, he's pushed all in on this hand.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Isn't that what I've always done? I roll the dice.
No, but this time.
I roll the dice.
But Tiger, this time.
You know, I get married. I meet a woman, I marry her. I see a restaurant, I buy it. You know?
I
go to Atlantic City, I walk out, I got my pockets empty.
And look how good all
of
this
really. I go to a golf course, I'm 280 back, and I'm going over water. I go for that green.
I like that about you.
And look how good all that's worked out thus far.
Sure has. Surely has, Don.
This will be the one that breaks the mold.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one that, you know, really, it's just like, you'll get the call. You'll get the call, really. Who's that guy that did the one-man show? What, Spalding Gray?
Uh-huh. Listen to Mike.
That'll be me. Yeah, it'll be dental records for me.
Rattle on now. Mm-hmm. You are so nervous.
It'll be dental records for me.
You are so nervous, Mike.
You'll be fine.
I'm very, very happy.
We're all with you.
I know you are. I know, and I really do know you are, and I appreciate that.
Just remember your horoscope. Avoid liquor.
Okay.
Avoid liquor.
And I was planning on doing that a little bit tonight.
A little bit. All right,
That's right, Rob. I'll be kept in the ice machine. Yeah, that'll be a tourist attraction. So I'd come in and see Mike and just pull the little door back and it'll be my head.
Or Marin. Wouldn't that be great? Like something on Futurama.
Yeah, I think it'll be cheaper than what that Ted Williams guy did.
Yeah.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
That's right, and thanks for listening, everybody. Joe Ardinger getting ready to head on home, and thank you for listening to The Best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network. Now, let's jump right into it. It wouldn't be a best of show without a little bit of the Buzz Show on The Best of Don and Mike.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's The Buzz Show. Buzz Burbank interviewing newsmakers of the day. And now, here's Buzz Burbank.
Don't forget, kids, call Buzz.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown.
That's right.
Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
1-888 rabbits.
Hi, Buzz. Thanks, Don and Mike. You may have seen his work in High Times magazine. He's a stand-up comic who co-founded the Yippies and edited a magazine called The Realist. He sent Groucho Marx on his first acid trip. Please welcome the author of Magic Mushrooms and Other Highs, Mr. Paul Krasner. Hi, Paul. Paul, are you there?
Oh, hold on. There you go, Buzz.
Hello.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Let me ask you about that first. Remember that time you got Groucho Marx high?
Yeah.
That was great. What was that like, really? No. Did he do a number of drugs in his later years?
The only one I knew of was when he was making the movie Skidoo.
Right, I remember that.
And they were on a boat. Yacht, maybe.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes. The hog farm community.
Why don't you take some phone calls? Because then Mike and I can talk all the way on the phone.
Right.
So, that's the only thing I know.
Yeah. And what's the point of this book? What's it all about?
Well, it started 5-6 years ago when I started collecting what I thought would be funny dope stories.
Stories.
And it turned out they weren't all funny. Some of them were hysterical. Others were just bizarre or weird. Some of them were poignant. Some of them were informational. In all different styles.
And I want to ask you about some of those, but I also want the callers to have a chance to ask some questions, too. If it's okay with you, I'd like to take some calls.
Oh, absolutely.
Questions for Mr. Paul Krasner. First call. Go ahead.
Hello, is this Buzz?
Yes, it is. Go ahead, sir.
Buzz, I am so wasted right now, dude. I'm so wasted.
Well, you've chosen the right interview to listen to.
Is this the shroom guy?
Yeah, you know, yeah. As a matter of fact, yeah, Paul Krasner, author of Magic Mushrooms and Other Hot. You should get the book.
No, I'm not. I can't read. I'm so high.
Well, just enjoy the interview, then.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes, sir.
I love your manner.
Thank you, sir.
I do, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Seacrest out.
Enjoy your evening, Seacrest. Thanks for calling. Paul, let me ask you this. Are you with the book? Oh, we got another call. Let's go to the phones. Yeah, next caller.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I'm on the air?
You're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Is Paul on the show?
Paul's on the phone and on the air.
Hey, Paul, I'm a big fan.
Oh, well, I'm a big air conditioner.
I have a question. Is there a chance that I can find mushrooms in my backyard?
That you can do what?
Is there a chance that I can find mushrooms, in my backyard?
Caller wants to know if he can find magic mushrooms in his yard.
Hang up and listen, man.
Just bring some cows from a friendly neighbor.
No, I'm serious, man. I want to know if I can get, mushrooms in my backyard.
I don't know why not.
Paul's serious, too. They grow on cow patties, right?
Okay, I'll hang up and listen. You guys are, I'm not impressed, dude.
Well, you will be. Keep listening.
I'll hang up and listen.
He's not impressed.
I'll hang up and listen.
No, well, he's not entirely with us, Paul.
Do you want me to hang up and listen, man?
Yeah, hang up and listen, sir.
Hey, Paul.
Enjoy the show.
I'm a big fan, man.
Okay.
Buzz, we should get rid of this caller.
I'm not impressed.
Okay, let's go to another call then, Paul. Next caller.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Paul?
Yes.
You're a bad man.
Now, why do you say that, sir?
You're evil. Drugs are illegal. They were made illegal because they're bad. You're a heathen, and you will burn in hell.
What do you say to that, Paul?
I said, well, how come that all the drugs that are illegal are the ones that aren't manufactured by corporations?
I say, how come is bad grammar.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Is this your usual clientele, Buzz?
Yeah, I'm sorry to report. It often is, Paul. We've got another call. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Al in Line 1.
Oh, hey, Al.
I'm a regular listener.
Appreciate it.
I've been under a lot of stress recently.
I can understand.
And I've tried everything.
Yeah.
I've tried all of the pills my doctor can give me.
Right.
And frankly, I'm ready to go to the black market. What would you recommend for a very high strung management type in the D.C. area? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Look, there's a penny on the floor.
I better grab that. Paul, is there a hallucinogen good for stress?
Well, I mean, marijuana is often used to relieve stress.
Now, I noticed you list that in your book. Is that really a hallucinogen?
No. What happened, this goes back to the first question, that the original book and a shrewd marketing move, the publisher just called it Pot Stories for the Soul,
uh-huh.
And it was all about marijuana. Then the second book was all about LSD. It was going to be called Acid Trips for the Soul.
Another call. Got to take another call, Paul.
Another call.
That's our phone. Yes, next caller. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Who's this?
This is Dennis Murphy.
Hey, Dennis. How's it going?
Hi.
You got a question for Paul?
Yeah. Can I come on your show?
Not today, Dennis.
No, I want to come on the show.
Maybe another time.
Can I do the news?
No, maybe another day, Dennis.
Okay, Buzz.
All right. See you at Mike's place tonight. All right. Telephone again, Paul. Next caller. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Buzz. It's Mike Ramey calling from Sacramento, California. How are you doing,
Hey, Mike.
Sir?
How you doing?
I love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I have a problem, a male problem.
Oh.
that I've not been able to fix with Viagra.
The over-the-counter didn't work?
And the Mike Ditka product. Mm-hmm. Again, my name is Mike Ramey.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Sacramento, and I frankly cannot perform as a man. And I was wondering, I know I suffer from premature stupidity.
Oh.
But I was wondering, is there anything that could help my sex life, a mushroom that could help me, because I am just absolutely not able. Again, this is Mike Ramey from Sacramento. I'm not able to even to forget it. I might as well be. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks.
I love your show.
I appreciate it.
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. And to you, sir.
My advice would be that when he's with a woman,
uh-huh.
if he calls out her name instead of his own, it might help.
All right. But is there a drug that can enhance the experience, can enhance male performance?
Oh, probably ecstasy would be nice.
Now, really, that was a chapter I was interested in because that's one I haven't experienced yet.
Oh, well, you know, I think that was one of the reasons that this book...
Oh, sorry, Paul, let's take another call.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
Ah!
Oh, dear.
Ah!
It's going to only be one person. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Buzz.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm well, Tom.
Ah!
Yeah, that's a good monster.
Go back.
Go to another call. Sorry about that, Paul. Next caller. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Buzz.
Hello. Who's this?
Paul, then.
Paul's on the line and on the air, and so are you. Go ahead with your questions.
CB comment.
This is Mike. And I was wondering if any hallucinogens are
any hallucinogens.
Helpful.
Gonna be helpful
to people who might suffer from afflictions. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for your call.
But why is it that it feels like that everybody who calls has already tried everything that's in my book?
It does seem that way, doesn't it? And yet, here's another call. Imagine that. Let's go to the phone, Paul. Go ahead. Next caller, please. Go ahead and pick that up.
Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Pat? I'm calling about a 1973 Opel. The problem is...
I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong show.
Excuse me?
This is not the car trade show.
No, I was calling for Bonnie Goss.
No, she's not here, and...
She is addicted to mushrooms.
I didn't know that, but I would recommend you call Pat's show to talk about that.
That is a beautiful shirt you're wearing today, Buzz.
Thank you, I'm glad you...
You're looking very wonderful.
How can you see it if you're on the phone?
Party line.
Next call.
Paint your bald spot?
Now just troublemakers.
Paint your bald spot?
And yet another call.
Paint your bald spot?
Pick it up. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Buzz Show. Go ahead.
Prince Albert in a can?
Nothing but pranksters now. By the way, Paul, I wanted to tell you, I love the story about Sean Lennon in the book.
About what?
About Sean Lennon. I thought that was
yes.
a fascinating insight into the young man. And this phone's just going to keep ringing if I don't answer it, so let's take another call.
Hey, go ahead. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is Pat McGroin.
And
I'll hang up and listen. Don't book on that phone, man.
You know, it just doesn't pay to try to do a show on St. Patrick's Day because everybody's already partying. Next call. Go ahead.
I'm out.
All right, we're out of calls.
No, we're not.
Paul, I noticed you included a chapter on...
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning.
Thank you, Dave.
Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
Well, that's possible. Paul, you didn't mention absinthe in the book, I noticed. And it's something I've tried recently. Would you consider absinthe a hallucinogen?
Researched.
Well, I've never tried it, but it may well be. Nobody submitted a story on absinthe.
Oh, well, perhaps
and,
I can.
It made my heart grow fonder.
And also, you talked about toad licking, and we heard a lot about that for a while. Was there ever anything to toad licking?
Well, one of the in the toad slime section, there's a long article, almost like a religious treatise, called "Ode to the Sacred Toad,"
right?
And it's written by Ralph Metzner, who was one of the three musketeers at the LSD research farm in Millbrook, New York, in the '60s, along with Timothy Leary and Ram Dass, who had been Richard Alpert.
Very good. Next call, please. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, ma'am.
This is Leah LaBelle.
I was on American Idol last night.
Oh, congratulations.
I was awful. Simon said that I should pack my bags, and I
can you hear him and I can't?
Since the show was
maybe
on.
So.
Since the show was on last night, and I think, hello, are you there?
Woman who says she was on American Idol.
This is Leah, and Leah. Last night I got voted off, and I got so high and wasted, and I ended up with Ryan Seacrest, and you're never going to guess, but when he came by me, he told me that he doesn't, I have to go.
I'm sorry.
I have to go.
Call another time, please.
We're all using drugs on American Idol.
Good luck. Yes, next call. Go ahead, please.
Hi, is Buzz?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Buzz?
I'm all right. How are you?
Buzz, my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I think I have a problem with alcohol.
Really?
Now, yeah.
Paul,
I was wondering if there's anything you can do to help me. Can I wean myself off alcohol?
Are there ways that people can use any of these drugs
to
wean themselves off alcohol, Paul?
Hey, this is Don. I'm calling on behalf of my friend Mike. I think he's right.
Well, there you go. Is there a drug that can
hang up and listen.
Help people beat an alcohol addiction?
Well, I know that psychiatrists and doctors have helped people who are alcoholics get off it with LSD, actually.
Right. Right.
There have been studies.
Okay, let's take another call. Go ahead. Let's pick up the phone.
Hi.
Welcome to the Buzz Show.
Buzz.
Hi, is this Mike again?
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
Sometimes Mike gets mad and hits people.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but let's take another call instead. Next call. Go ahead.
Congratulations. This is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you've just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
All right, Buzz, here you go. Knock yourself out. Ask this guy whatever you really want to ask him.
Paul, who's your publicist? Is he vigorous?
My publicist at 10 Speed Press?
Yeah. Paul, I wanted to ask you also, should I be allowed to marry my gay lover, Joe?
Should you be allowed to?
Yeah.
It's going to be mandatory if you wait any longer.
All right. All right. Well, Paul, thanks a lot. And any tips, by the way, for fighting the nausea?
Marijuana helps a lot.
Very good.
Wow.
The reason you get nauseous is because you want to smoke.
Well, I highly recommend the book. It's got a lot of great stories in it and includes a number of celebrities. And the book is Magic Mushrooms and Other Highs from Toad Slime to Ecstasy. The author is Paul Krasner. And, Paul, thank you for being so... maybe before we go, maybe one more call. Would you mind, Paul?
Sure, no.
All right, go ahead. Next call, please.
Hello, Buzz.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I was wondering if, before you got off the air, you could sing along with your theme song.
I'd be honored.
You're the White Rabbit song.
Yeah,
Your guest today sucks.
No, I
He's
disagree.
He's the worst guest you've ever had on your show.
No,
I love you,
I'm sorry.
But I hate this guest.
Well, I respect your...
hang up and listen.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Yeah, hang up, please. But and I respect your opinion, but I disagree. I think Paul was a great guest.
I just want to tell you, I've done a lot of interviews. I haven't had a better time than on this one.
Well, we mentioned your book.
Well, besides that.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't you hear what I said? I said I haven't had a better time.
You hadn't had much time.
You've been listening to the Buzz Burbank interview on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Now sing, Buzz.
Oh, come now on, you're going to fade out the music, and I don't know where we are in the lyrics. Go ask Alice.
There you go.
I think you know.
Come on, bud. You should see him trying to sing.
He's trying to hear the lyrics. And the lyrics keep fading out on me.
White Knight is talking backwards, and the Red Queen's off with his head. Remember,
sing it, bud. Sing it, bud.
What the Dormouse said.
What did the Dormouse say, bud?
Be your head.
Yeah, the Buzz Show.
Be your head.
Yeah, the Buzz Show.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Michael Elston and Buzz Burbank.
Thanks,
wow.
Paul.
Hold on, please, Paul.
Let's see how that went.
Yeah.
There you go, Rob.
He seemed to have a good time.
I think he had maybe too much of a good time in the 60s.
That's impossible.
Hi, it's Rob. How do you think it went? Good. You have a good time?
Have a good time?
He's going to get a really good bye then from Rob.
Oh, I'll pass along. You did have a good time, right? And you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, boy. He rambles on.
Yeah, he does like talk. That's the thing.
We would love to have you back sometime.
That's called a stoned rap.
Book or the combustion engine. So goodbye then. Goodbye then.
Buzz, outstanding job.
Why, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank
Buzz,
you, Buzz.
That was a tough fight. That was a tough one. Absolutely.
Sure was.
Well, it's the callers, you know. Mm-hmm.
All the interruptions.
Isn't it all?
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.